Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
La, 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 la. Friday edition of the Best of Don and Mike. How you all doing? It's your old buddy, Rob Spiewak, and I'm sure you're like me, recovering from the show Joey. It was wonderful, wasn't it? Let's get started with the best of, shall we? It has been said, those who do, can do. Those who cannot do, teach. And those who cannot teach, consult radio stations. So, let's get started with an article and a call from a radio consultant. All for you on the best. Of Don and Mike.
This is to a disc jockey magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as you can see, it's Talkers Magazine, the Bible of talk radio.
Talkies!
Talkers Magazine, and this is the latest issue. And I think I alluded to the part about us when I originally got this magazine, but I want to read you the entire article now. Because we love showing it what a jive-ass industry radio is.
It is, and it's fun to analyze it when it gets more jive-ass than ever.
And it's personal now between us and this guy. What happened is, about 2 months ago, I read an article that this guy, his name is Tom Zarecki, Z-A-Z-A-R-E-C-K-I.
Zarecki, get to my office pronto.
I read an article that he wrote about how radio stations could use the events of 9/11 to exploit greater listenership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could, all these fake, bogus ideas you could do to get patriotism going and get community spirit going while at the whole time really not caring about the community or what happened. It's just a way to get your radio station more listeners.
Yeah, there was something about it that just smacked of... You know, under the table, kind of sneaky. It just left a bad taste in our mouth.
It was very disingenuous. So we read it, and anyway, here's his article in this month's magazine. Bear with me, because the last part is about us, and then we're going to call him on a challenge that he makes when he writes about us. The headline says, "Your station needs your help promoting you. If you come in, do your show, and leave without providing the station with any clues, any tips, any ideas about where your show is going or what you're planning, what you're doing yourself, your station, and your station's ratings are a massive disservice. The station wouldn't keep you if they didn't think there was some ongoing value. So why not help your station promote you? Here are idea starters for DJs to gain listeners."
This is the typical consultant...
Sure.
BS, because what he spends his time doing is explaining something that is so incredibly obvious that anybody would know it if they were in the business.
So, there you go. For all you aspiring disc jockeys out there, and this is from Talkers Magazine, number one clue, a hint, leave clues. Leave clues.
Leave clues.
Use any means to let other disc jockeys know what you're doing so they can talk about the way you want, and producers know where to go if you're recording daily promos from your shows. For instance,
I'm already confused.
Yeah. Have you ever called another host's show from home, your station, or a competitor's? Either way, it's another promo for you.
Right.
Come on, shake things up a bit.
Ooh, be controversial.
Radical.
Hello, Johnny Dark?
Yeah, right. So, yeah.
Hey, I'm sitting here thinking about the show, and I was listening to your show. Thank you for taking my call. Remind everyone to listen to my show in the morning. Show.
Now, keep in mind, part of his whole rap when it comes to us is to keep internal stuff off the air.
Right.
Yet what he's encouraging disc jockeys to do is to call disc jockeys not only on their own station, but on other stations. It would be like this afternoon, we get done with the show, and I call Sean Hannity, and I say, "Hey, Sean, it's Don from the Don and Mike Show. How you doing, baby?"
Right. I just want to let you know, or check it in.
Number two, daily promos. On stations or networks that may have producers create daily promos for your show, why not take them from today's tapes? Why make them guess?
Once again, restating the obvious.
Let them know where you think the good spots for promos might be. And then in quotes it says, "Wendy, 4:23 p.m., the part where she was a stripper." That's the promo.
Uh-huh. Ah, brilliant.
Your input will help in the long run. So what he's saying is the disc jockeys should pick the promos that they think are the best.
Good idea.
Wow. Number three.
There you go.
Number three, long-range ideas. Mm-hmm. Plan something about next week's show the station can promote over the weekend. The more specific you can be, the better the promo becomes. The worst promos are the promos that say, listen to the blah, blah, blah show because anything can happen, or listen to blah, blah, blah because you never know what will happen next. Mm-hmm. That copy is written by desperate DJs who have no idea what to say. Okay, and again, when we ask stations to promote us, that's right. Exactly what we ask them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say specifically what we're doing,
right.
Because even if I got an outline for what type of a show we're going to be doing, if we get on a better topic,
sure,
we're going to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be spontaneous. That's the whole idea. And if you commit to something, you could be in big trouble.
Do you want longer listening? Of course, all disc jockeys want longer listening.
We like to pride ourselves on the fact that we've got some of those statistics which would bear that out, some of the longest listening in the radio biz.
We have the number one time spent listening share of any radio show in America.
Wow.
You guys, God bless you, you listen longer than you listen to any other show. As each hour begins, tease the topics before launching into your first bit or topic. If you don't, you've lost a great opportunity to keep listeners further in this hour. Again, here's why this is a dumb idea. Let's say you get on and you say, today, at exactly 12 noon,
right,
we are going to start rating women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe there's some listeners out there who don't like it when we rate women.
Right.
What you're saying to them is, hey, guess what? Today at 12 noon, you can turn your radio off because we're going to be doing something that you don't like.
You got to keep everybody on their toes so they'll listen to the whole show.
Right.
Watch topic and caller rotation. Keep a log of topics and in what hour they air to avoid undue repetition.
Oh, my God.
See how often you really cover each topic. Be wary of the repeat caller. Now, this would be another one of the rules that, another one of the rules that we break all the
sure,
time.
Of course.
Be wary of the repeat caller.
We've earned our living on repeat idiots.
Many DJs have the problem of people who call their show and get on the air three or four times because of different producers. Nobody hears this redundancy except the listeners.
Right.
Your producers must work with the producers of other shows and the program director to make sure this doesn't happen.
Hi, Glenn.
master the recap. It's a proven fact of radio. Most listeners do not stop what they're doing. Tune in for your show and listen to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, let me just say, it is a proven fact that listeners of this show do stop what they're doing.
Right.
Focus all attention on the show, which is why we have such high time spent listening.
And if someone calls who wants to be enlightened as to what happened earlier and they haven't been listening, they are chastised and berated, causing them to listen to the entire show the following day.
We say, you know, it's not our job to tell you what already happened. You know, listen or you're going to miss it.
That's right.
People's attention comes and goes every few minutes. So if you have an important guest coming up, promote it every 5 minutes.
Right.
Now, could you imagine that? Every 5 minutes?
Every 5 minutes would be fantastic.
If you're interviewing a guest, say who they are every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Don Imus has mastered the recap.
Oh.
He'll be on with, for example, John McCain.
John McCain
gives a great interview. The host could be horrible. As it turns out, Imus is horrible. And McCain could still provide powerful content by himself. But Imus, who is a powerful, engaging entertainer and often spends 20 minutes in featured long-form interviews, still recaps every few minutes with,
we're talking to Arizona Senator John McCain,
to grab those who just tuned in and aren't sure what's going on.
That's brilliant.
If you don't grab the new tuners in, you're not building your audience, but simply maintaining those you had.
Yeah, take a look at the I-Man's numbers
across
the country.
Basically, everything that he's done here, let me see, leave clues. We don't leave clues. Daily promos. Now, here we do agree. We do run a promo, and it's a promo that we all get together and decide is the best moment of the show for the day. We do not start every hour by teasing, telling you exactly what we're going to do,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't like that, you're not going to listen to it.
Right.
We do like repeat callers. Mm-hmm. We do like regular callers on this show.
Mm-hmm.
We do not master the recap. If we do have an interview coming up, we do not announce every 5 minutes who the interview is going to be with.
Yeah, well, we're, like, for example, if we get a mystery guest like a guy, the man from Uncle yesterday, we will mention, hey, this is very cool talking, but we're not saying, we're talking with because that's just a jive, kind of cliche-ridden thing. You can let your listeners know what's going on and who you're talking to without, you know, making it sound like a recap.
And then finally, here's the last part where he mentions us.
Oh, good.
Avoid internal stuff. So this is cool. Listen, I heard some nationally syndicated talk show hosts in New York City recently took a recent talkers column of mine and ripped it apart. Well, that's certainly fine with me. They can say my name and trash me anytime. But between you and me, does that help their ratings?
Mm-hmm.
Do the listeners give a rat's ass about somebody telling them how to do their show?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they just do the show rather than talking about how they're not doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a sign that they ran out of material that day? Or maybe they don't have any material and they're desperate to trash something without any planning and made the fatal mistake of turning internal on the air, talk about the boss, the consultant, the headsets, the interns, the bad coffee, the article in a trade magazine. Anyway, guys, please continue to talk about me anytime. I'll even appear on your show. No, wait, sorry, that would take actual planning on your part. But the offer still stands. Now, let me just say to Tom Zarecki, and Rob, I'd like you to give him a call here.
All right.
Tom, when I read your article in Talkers Magazine, I planned to read it on the air and share it with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of my promotion, part of my production, part of my setting up the show,
mm-hmm.
that I wrote myself a post-it note saying, devote a segment to this because I believe our listeners are not so freaking stupid that they can't see the funny part of douchebags like you trying to tell disc jockeys how to do their shows.
Yeah, and you know, your attempt to be smug and above it all is very transparent when you line out our faces in the picture,
yeah.
And when you talk about that would require planning. Well, the fact of the matter is, you don't have anything that's written or anything that you bring in here that is not planned by you. I mean, come in here and you bring it in here because you've looked at it. If something happens to me, I mention it to you. We plan. That's what we do. You can't come in here and do this with mirrors.
The only part of the show that's not planned is when we just take phone calls.
And we love that because you know what?
But even that is planned. Even that is planned when we say, okay, we're going to take phone calls.
And the thing is, there are so few people that do the volume of calls we do, and I love it. And we love it's one of the best parts of the show because it's completely spontaneous.
So we're here now, and we're going to invite him to come down.
On Mike Radio Show. How you doing? Great. We're wondering if you can have a moment to come on the air with us.
Or okay. come by.
Well, you can come on right now, or would you have time to come by the station today?
Oh, you got the guy on the phone?
Yeah. All right, well, let's go on right now. Let me put you on hold, and the next voices you hear will be Don and Mike to be on the air. Hank.
Okay.
All right, so there we go.
Here he is, everybody. Here is the man who tells DJs how to do their show.
The man who says that we don't plan anything on this show, that we have no material.
Here is Tom Zarecki.
Tom Zarecki, who has lined our faces out.
Hello, Tom.
Like we're common criminals.
Right.
Well, have you ever actually been a common criminal? That would be step one, I guess.
Well, you know, Tom, we read your column just a moment ago because we have no material on
that. When the prison gave me that picture, it already had your eyes already blacked out.
Well, you know,
right?
Right off the bat, I will give this gentleman credit for actually coming on the show. When we read the column, it sounded like you might not do that.
Tom, I will tell you this, that it's my understanding that listeners do get behind-the-scenes stuff, that listeners do understand.
Would it be safe to say that of all the issues we have with Tom,
yes,
that would be our number one, because for the better part of 16 years, we have been putting our dirty laundry behind the scenes on the radio, and really, Tom, our listeners lap it up. They love it. And
actually, that's what makes your show kind of unique, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's the one thing that you said, that, you know, that going internal is, how did he put it? When you go internal, it's tragic. Or what did he say?
Hold on. Let me.
He said something about going internal being a big mistake.
Yeah, it's one of the generic things of advice. When you give advice generically, you say, hey, don't talk about how bad the corner of the tabletop is.
No, but see, that I think really of all the issues we have with you, that would be the number one debate that we would have it's crazy.
And my issue would be, you say that's fine with me, they can take my name and trash me anytime. Does that help their ratings? I think it does. Do the listeners give a rat's ass about someone telling them how to do their show? Yes, I think they do. Or is it a sign that they ran out of material on that day? Tom, the answer is, I had read your column the day before.
How long have you had that article waiting to do this very thing we're doing today?
I've held on to it for like a month.
We've had that for a month.
And as it turns out, I would keep waiting until we're in New York to invite you to come by.
Right.
I actually read this and planned to read the article on the air.
Oh, my God. Let me alert the media. You should do a press release on that. Just kidding.
Let me tell you something right now. This is a message for any columnist anywhere.
Yes.
No matter. I don't care if you're writing for Talkers Magazine. I don't care if you're writing for the local Penny Saver. It doesn't matter. We are so petty that if you slam us in your column.
Petty is good.
We will put you on the air because that's the kind of guys we are.
Well, that's good. Well, two things happen as a result of this. One, it became a good punchline and a closing thing for this article, because any columnist knows you have to create content out of thin air to be in a magazine for whatever the purposes are. So that's number two. It created a good spin-off and a good ending for my column. And number two, it got me on your show.
Let me say, I want to tell our listeners, we're talking with Tom Zarecki from Talkers Magazine.
There you go. Way to go, I-Man.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Hey, Tom, could you crawl any further into Imus's colon in that article or what?
Oh, man.
My God, Tom.
I'll use them as an example. Next time I can use you guys as an example. In fact, how about this?
Imus buy you some sunflower seeds or something?
I got to talk about... That's funny. I got to talk about talking to you guys. What would be, if I talked about you in my column, what would be the hippest or coolest or thing you'd like me to say most about you?
You know, really, can I answer that? Because I really think, you know, I would love
to talk about you again.
I would really, because when you talk about internal and you talk about talking about what goes on behind the scenes, that is really, I think that's fantastic. That's one of the things we do, and we make it work. We really do.
Well, your show works. And the other thing is that listeners have to know is when you give general advice, like a Dear Abby thing, mostly it applies to people who really have no clue. So that column often is written for people who are just up and coming in the business, not the people that have succeeded like you guys.
All right, so what you're doing is...
But it became a great setup for material there.
Yeah, now let me point out that Tom is being very nice to us right now, and Tom, but I'd like to say, like I've said for years...
Yeah, you got
to
watch him, Mike.
Tom is a print guy. He's a journalist. So when he leaves this interview, that's when the real trouble starts, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, I'm a journalist by accident. I'm a radio guy.
You're a radio guy.
I'm barely a journalist.
What is your background in radio?
35 years in radio and radio-related business. I was on the air at a bunch of little teeny stations before I worked my way up to larger stations. I ended up... Well, when I was a kid, I was a board operator at WABC and WPLJ for Dan Ingram, Cousin Brucey, Howard Cosell, all these characters... So you learn pretty fast how things have to go.
All right, so you do have a real background in radio.
Oh, yeah, and then I consulted radio stations, which to most people are consultants.
Hold on, Tom. Yeah. I don't mean to be internal, but what the hell was that vibrating sound in the background?
It wasn't...
There was something like...
It sounds like the vibration you would get from a cell phone. Somebody made some kind of noise.
That Buzz, are you doing a crossword again?
Absolutely.
Nobody farted.
All right. Sorry about that.
Nothing over here.
It's that large vibrating egg you have in the studio.
Well, listen, Tom, thank you for taking the call. Please, if you write anything about the show, you might want to write that your column is basically for dummies. You know, and I'm paraphrasing you here, guys who don't know about radio.
Yeah, you're quoting him.
And that's you good. Might also write that... if you do internal stuff well, as we do it, you can pull it off. And secondly, I wouldn't mind it if you compared our show to the Larry Sanders Show.
Very good.
Hey, that's a good analogy.
Thank you.
All right. Can I still come on your show if I'm in the area?
I think anytime anybody is a stand-up guy, takes our call, decides to go on the air, you got the guts to come into our arena, and we always respect that.
It's part of the thing. Anything to help make anybody's show better is what I'm all about.
So I'm not sure whether you made the show better.
Oh, I don't know. I just added a few minutes.
But at least we have the guy on who wrote the article. So, Tom, yes, it's an open invitation.
Absolutely.
As soon as I hang up, you can say other disparaging things about me. That's okay.
You know the show well enough to know what we'll do.
But absolutely.
We will also say that you had the guts to come on the show. We always say that.
All right, I appreciate that.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Yep, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Nimrod, dumbass.
Well, you know what you got from that? What you got from that was basically, and you heard him say it himself, he's writing this column for stupid disc jockeys.
Yes, right.
But listen.
But he's wrong.
But this is where the bitch is. Mm-hmm. That a stupid disc jockey, and by stupid I mean someone who's green, someone who's coming up the ladder.
Right.
This is not the type of advice that you want to give them.
No.
What you want to say to a disc jockey is, if you're climbing your way up the ladder, you know, try new stuff. Right. Be inventive.
Sure.
Try stuff that might get you fired. Don't do this crap like saying every 5 minutes, you know, we're on the phone with General Norman Schwarzkopf.
Exactly.
You know, don't do this crap where, you know, you watch the topic and every, hey, this hour we're going to be discussing Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a big one all this hour right here on WABC. but the guy took the call.
He does. He has the balls to come on the show, and we always respect that.
And I do prep the show, okay? Dum-dum. Please. Kiss my ass.
A little backpedaling there.
But thank there was tons of backpedaling there.
But still, I mean, you know, the guys that we've had, print guys especially before, that will write their nastiness in the column, and then they will avoid the call. I mean, they're our columnists that come to mind that... you know, are currently in the friend column that used to, like, duck our calls all the time.
I'll say that the answer to this will be when the next edition of Talkers Magazine comes out.
Yep.
Right. To see what Tom Zarecki writes.
Well, I would assume, since Tom was talking about pulling columns out of thin air, that Tom, there's a very good probability that we will be in his column because he's always looking for stuff to write about.
Yeah. Right. How many times can you tell disc jockeys to do dumb stuff?
Right.
I mean, he's going to need a new topic.
I've got the title of the column. In the Mouth of the Lion.
And you know,
there you are.
When writing a column, you shouldn't talk about internal stuff like your disagreements with disc jockeys. If you want to write a good column, you should avoid that kind
of thing. Fill your column with clues.
How about this for a headline? I was wrong. Don and Mike were right.
Yeah.
Because basically what he said was, all this stuff that he wrote about us, he came on the air and said it doesn't apply because we can do it.
Right.
Because we do it well.
You know, and I'm looking at that column and the pictures that he's got. Is Imus the funniest looking man on the face of the planet?
He's the crypt keeper.
I mean, it is just, how you doing there?
Stupid idiot.
Stupid idiot. Where are my sunflower seeds?
Where are my doctor's stethoscope-like headphones?
Stupid idiot.
This is not the way we're talking with Senator John McCain.
Stay there. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Do not drink any alcoholic beverages. Do not eat butter, margarine, oils, lard, or fat of any kind. Do not eat fried foods. Do not eat bread. Do not eat bananas, grapes, watermelon, or any fruits other than grapefruit or cantaloupe. Do not eat spaghetti or macaroni of any kind. Do not eat pizza. Do not eat popcorn, potato chips, or pretzels. Do not eat puddings or custards. Do not eat ice cream, frozen custard, or frozen yogurt. Do not eat cookies, pies, cakes, pancakes, waffles, or any baked goods. Do not eat chocolate, caramel, fudge, nougat, nuts.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the sacred time. The time for Don and Mike.
The best of Don and Mike. Right here. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak sitting in the studio and playing the tapes for you. I feel that you will enjoy this next segment. In the previous segment, we had that load of a consultant come on the air. We followed up. We continue to talk about that fine fella and take some calls about the consultant. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Yes. And regarding that douchebag you just spoke to who works on a newspaper.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of funny that he worked it for 35 years in radio and he sounds like some 18-year-old schoolgirl? He had a horrible radio voice. And yet he sounds bitter because he's not in the business.
Yeah, you know, generally my thought with, especially with consultants rather than print guys in radio, but I'll lump them all together because that's one of my best talents is just lumping and making gross simplifying statements. Those who do, those who can't write about it or teach it.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if the guy was really any good at radio, he'd be doing radio.
Well, most program directors, that applies to. Most program directors that are not on the air, that's what that applies to.
Absolutely. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hey, guys. That was one of the best interviews I've heard. There's the proof that the most successful radio shows, the better ones, you talk about what's going on the show. When you got home, did you kiss your wife?
Get out of here, though.
Did you miss me?
The burper guy. Here's another one of the regular callers.
Yeah, and I thought there were about eight people that were him yesterday.
Hello, Don and Mike. So, John, don't be upset that he fooled you.
Johnny doesn't like him. Johnny takes it personally.
John gets all upset.
Johnny's got the right attitude for working on this show. Yeah. Johnny takes it. John's as petty, and he takes it as personally as we do.
You know why? Because I've screened a lot of... I've done screening for a long time,
right?
And I've seen some total insane DJ rave acts.
Oh, really?
Guys getting on. It sticks with you. You get flashbacks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Don't worry about it, John. We don't care.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, yeah, I called about 3.5 months ago. I just want to know if that's a little too often for you guys.
Yeah. It really kind of is.
See, and this is more proof to that guy if he's listening.
Sure.
Do you see the listeners get it, dumbass?
I mean, now nowadays, this kind of radio has been around for so long that the listeners are very, very savvy as to how the game works.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hi.
Great show so far. Listen, now that you're done with that dumbass reporter, when are we going to hear from Craig Wilson?
You know what? I bet we never hear from Craig Wilson.
No, he'll never come on the show.
You know, we've gotten some, one time we did call.
Yeah.
And we did ask him to be on the show. And what did he say to you, Rob, after he was on hold?
I don't want to be a part of
I don't want to be a part of that crap.
That's what
he was listening on hold to the show. He had never, I don't think he'd heard the show before. And he was listening on hold and heard what we were having, you know, one of our normal conversations.
Regular discussions.
And he refused to come on after. Yeah. And he was 2 minutes away from going on the air.
He was on hold.
Hey, guys, welcome. Ready. First time caller. I was wondering if that's regular enough for you or what?
Yeah, call anytime. That's the rule on this show. Call anytime. You know, the rule on this show is that we don't have any rules on this show.
It's the way it works.
Yeah. The only rule that is... No, I'm gonna amend that statement.
One rule.
The only rule we have is that Buzz is not allowed to do crossword puzzles.
Right. Good rule.
While we're on the air.
Very good rule. Clear on that.
It kind of screws with my head. Buzz is doing
and
jumbles.
Ultimately mine.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
DA Magazine.
What?
I have some comments for that DA magazine.
Yeah, well, and keep in mind that it's a disc jockey. It's an industry publication, only read by disc jockeys.
Yeah, and I know people are slamming the guy, but I also, I say once again, anytime somebody comes in to our arena after we have, had that, and the guy knew, I mean, we'd slammed him before, and he heard us, so he knew what he was getting into, and I like that.
Anyway, hi, what can we do for you?
Hi, this is Mike from Maryland, first-time caller.
Okay, Mike.
I just want to say that you guys are great. I can't believe actually that I got through, and whatever you guys do, don't change it. You're obviously doing a great job. I can remember when I was actually younger, my aunts and uncles listened to you on WAVA, and you always had the best show.
Thank you.
And they raised you, right?
Thank you. Toodaloo ass.
If this was a crowded shack.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, I got a quick jumble for you, if you don't mind.
All right. Go ahead.
Letters are E-R-A-L-K-C-S.
L-K-C-S.
It's stumping me.
Slacker?
Slacker.
Oh.
That's it. You got it, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good job.
Hey, I did a jumble, everybody.
See how much fun it is? That's too good.
I did that without writing anything down.
That's wow. Too good. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I want to schedule a call for next week.
You want to schedule what day you want to call, honey?
Friday at 9.
Friday at 9? Well, we don't. You have to call me in the office then.
All right.
What's your first name?
Mytl.
What is it?
Mytl.
Mytl.
Yeah.
Mytl. We're talking with Mytl.
Don, we're all booked up, but we can call back if we have a cancellation.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Did you get the clue?
If you just tuned in a moment ago, a caller called Buzz with a jumble.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know what? I will tell you. I want to tell you one other dumb thing that radio guys do, and this is really to me the sign of desperation. And this is something that G. Gordon Liddy does, and I know other hosts do.
Desperation.
When you have like someone on the telephone, and you're so desperate for phone calls that first off, you say when you're going into a commercial break, "Hey, listen, we have Mike O'Mara on the line on line 4. Mike, please stay there. We will get to your call directly after the break."
Yeah, I've heard that. I hate it.
Okay, now you take that to the next level, which someone like Liddy does, when he comes on the air and he says, "We have run out of time for today's show. However, we will take your phone number and we will call you back tomorrow."
Absolutely.
So that you can be on the show.
I know.
That is a sign of a show that's got
sure
nobody listening.
Wow.
WNBL, nobody listening.
We are so sorry we were unable to get to your call. We will take your number and call you back and drive to your house and give you pie.
Always such a good idea when your show is run basically a current events program, a news program.
Right.
You want to talk about yesterday's news.
Absolutely.
Hello, here is Brian in Madison, Wisconsin. Brian.
Hey, Dynamite. How you guys doing?
Hi, buddy. We're doing great.
Hey, the comment you made before about people stopping what they're doing to listen to your show.
Yes.
That this Christmas, when you guys were doing the Carpenter barf thing,
yeah.
I had to stop driving and pull over into a parking lot because I was crying so hard it was so funny.
You weren't alone.
Thank you, my friend.
I just want to say I love the barf thing. Keep it up.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Yep.
God, that was a special moment on the show.
I love the barfing.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I'm a repeat caller.
That's fine with us.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I'm a repeat caller.
That's okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Okay, yeah,
I'm a repeat caller.
All right.
Very good.
I just want to read you an instant feedback we got.
Okay.
Is it an evil instant feedback? Is it something that's a little negativo?
No, you decide.
All right, very good. That's interesting.
Let me pull it up.
I know you don't normally pop on the instant feedback during the show. This has to be something enormously special.
It was pointed out to me by someone before the show.
Okay.
Okay.
A listener writes. One of the nicest things, really, about working up here at WNEW, though, is the instant feedback you can get online. It's very, very good to look at. It's very good to see.
Okay, hold on.
It's very good for me to avoid.
It's good.
It's good, no? Oops.
Sorry.
Cut it out. You.
What is this?
What?
I'm excited.
Why are you still in New York? You started to mention something, you hit the button,
yep.
Your headphones died.
Yeah, that's when the board went kaput. You had mentioned it. You made a veiled reference. You were getting a little inside there. Yeah.
Sorry about that. It would be the same reason that I am wearing a suit and tie today.
A dreamy combination, I should add.
Yes. It would be the same reason that I was having breakfast at the Plaza Hotel this morning.
What would that color be? It wouldn't be peach. It wouldn't be melon.
No, it's
it wouldn't be yellow.
It's not yellow.
What's the color? It wouldn't be gold.
No, it's not gold. I would give it wind drift.
I had a I had a meeting, and let me just say this, that the meeting I had today was a pleasant meeting.
Very good.
And I'd like to say to the individual that I had the meeting with, love you long time.
That's very good. You know what? I can describe that color.
What?
It's the matching tie. The tie is actually a little golden, but the shirt would be mango.
Okay, hold on.
No, mango's more orange.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Hold on.
Fag.
Damn.
Cassava.
Golden peach.
Now, first off,
here we go. Now, hey guys, I was caller 100 on Tuesday, and I was so excited.
Yay.
Thanks so much for all the prizes. The thing is, I want a PlayStation 2 game, and I don't have a PlayStation 2. You can imagine my kids' disappointment when I told them that Don and Mike did not include the PlayStation 2.
Hmm.
Probably because they did not know that we did not have one. I have been a great stay-at-home mom for the last 7 years because I did not want my kids raised by someone else. Suffice to say, I don't have a lot of extra money. If possible, could you send me a PlayStation 2? I appreciate the help, and no, you won't let my kids down.
No, like K-N-O-W? I know you won't let my kids down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long-time listener since 1983. Thanks so much. And then there's her name, Michelle, and her phone number.
Rob, you want to pick that up for the lady this afternoon?
That'd be great, yeah. I probably will right after... when hell freezes over.
Right.
Well, get it for her and bring her some pie.
She just won. We like to congratulate her on winning the world's most expensive coaster.
There you go.
Honey, please. I mean, I'm all for making our listeners happy. But God damn it. You know, you call up, you win a PlayStation 2 game, and you win some donuts.
Yeah, I believe every time you... most times when you get somebody that wins the game, you say, do you have a PlayStation 2? If they say, no, I don't, well, you can sell it, or you can give it to somebody that does.
Yeah, but you don't send us an instant feedback saying, mommy told the kids that Don and Mike gave them a PlayStation 2 game. We don't have PlayStation 2, but I'm sure you'll do it. What does she say? Could you throw in a PlayStation 2 for the kids?
For the kids.
I appreciate the help, and no, you won't let the kids down.
No, I mean, and the fact is, there are two things at play here. Number one, when you gave her the game, you said you want a PlayStation 2 game. You never said you want a PlayStation 2.
Right.
That, you make it very clear we're giving away the games, and, if it motivates a person to go out and get a PlayStation 2, fine. But otherwise,
if the kids are listening... Don and Mike are not the ones who are letting you down. It's Mommy and Daddy who are letting you down.
Again.
Okay? Look at Mommy and Daddy who are letting you down and not getting you the PlayStation 2.
Very good idea to maybe keep a, if you don't, if you're not intending on getting the game or you don't have the game, you actually just keep it down to a dull roar. Don't say anything.
As Johnny pointed out, it's like saying, thank you for the 10 free car wash coupons. Sadly, I have no car.
There you are.
Yeah, right. And Christ, don't... Don't send us a letter like this, making me feel guilty about it.
Now I feel I'm racked with guilt right now.
See, now, if this was...
Not me.
Listen, if this,
I know you aren't, Rob. You don't have guilt.
If this was a regular radio show, the radio rule would be, you go, oh, you know what, this sweet lady?
Right.
Let's call her up and let's buy her a PlayStation 2 for her
sure.
kids.
Okay.
Nah,
no.
F you. Seriously, F you. Thanks for listening, but raise your own kids.
Now, how much is a PlayStation 2 going for now?
$300
Still $300
$299
Okay.
And she says throw it in like it's a pencil. Could you throw in the game system, too, and a TV?
I think your kids will get past that disappointment brought onto them by Uncle Don and Uncle Mike.
Yeah, making it seem like it's our fault. We let you know. I mean, here's the deal. They bring the PlayStation 2 games to us. So do you want to give these away? And we say, yeah. I mean, it'd be a fantastic prize. The game's valued at what?
Do you want to call her up? It's like $50
$50. So you could probably sell that on eBay or sell that at a yard sale.
Let's call her up.
She'll love to hear from me.
Just call her up and say, we're not buying you the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Sorry if you hate us.
Say sorry about that, but she can sell the game and maybe get her kids a couple of toys.
Sorry that we've let your kids down.
Thanks for laying that incredible amount of
guilt on us.
Does that affect us? Are we petty enough for that? Yes, that's
we are.
Makes us feel weird.
And now it's her friend Rob calling from a coach store in hell.
Well, now Rob's going to be calling, just saying because we have to get the permission to go on the air.
Yes.
God, I pray the kids are home. I really do. Wouldn't that be great? We get the kids on the air. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is Don and Mike. They go, and the kids start screaming, you didn't get me a PlayStation.
Son of a bitch.
Machine, yeah. Let me know.
Well, just can't do it on the air.
Let me know when it goes to the beep.
Hi, Michelle. It's Rob from the Don and Mike Show, and the boys have something I think you might want to hear.
Okay, so what is this, line 5?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Hey, Michelle. I thought you were a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, well, how come you're not home right now?
Where are you?
Sorry we didn't come up with a game, but, we made it really clear that the machine doesn't come with it. It's just the $50 game or whatever.
Maybe tonight when you're opening the Chef Boyardee, you can mention to the tow-headed youngsters... The Moppets. You can mention that we didn't let them down.
You did.
That we never promised them a PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and we're kind of feeling weird about your feedback there, because
you're like
made
playing,
it sound like we let you down and we didn't do that.
You're playing the guilt trip with us.
Now stop it. That's not fair.
We beg your pardon, but we never promised you a
Beg your pardon. Beg your pardon. Maybe you can scratch it together and get them something else, or sell the game. If you're not going to get the PlayStation 2, sell the game. And what do you get on the internet? You get what, $30-$40 for it?
And listen, honey, I'm assuming that you're a decent looking broad. Go out and turn some tricks.
Oh, God.
PlayStation run you about $300. Bingo, dear. Mommy's a hero.
Oh my.
All right, thanks for the instant feedback.
Happy spring.
Bye bye. No, Rob, I don't think that's the equation. 15 Johns equals a PlayStation 2.
No, not nearly that.
I think 3 Johns. Three
one.
Johns.
One good John.
One good John. You get one guy, and you do everything for him.
For PlayStation 2.
It's all supply and demand, though.
You charge him $300.
Amen.
All right, thanks, honey.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for the letter. And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Donovan back to pass. He's got a man open in the end zone. It's Joe Artinger. The pass is there, and he drops the ball. And the Eagles do not win the Super Bowl. And as we review this Super Bowl, it was all Joe Artinger's fault.
The Don and Mike Show.
Poor Joe.
Keep the secret, my precious love. The Don and Mike Show.
Sing it!
Two,
playing the grassroots for my buddy Don, who is not here. Don and Mike are on vacation. It's me, your old buddy Rob Spiewak, playing the tapes and getting you through a good-looking Friday afternoon. Good stuff today. Stick around for Buzz in the Hospital, a very funny phone interview with old man Tony Curtis, the actor. But right now, and a Friday favorite, of course. But right now, we're going to follow up with that PlayStation 2 lady. More calls about that. But we also start out with some helpful broadcasting advice to Joe Artinger. Forget it! I'm halfway home! It's the best. It's Don and Mike.
Joe Artinger, if you would please crack the microphone.
Hello.
Joe.
There he is.
Really? Come on, Joe. What's the deal?
I apologize. I've been having an awful week behind the board.
But, really, though, when you're supposed to play the green card...
And I...
And that's the part that's the in or out of spots.
Right.
You know, it's a thing that goes dun, 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 dun. It's this. Now, listen, stations, don't go to break. I'm simply going to play this as an example. You play this thing, right?
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Right. And then the stations have like 5 seconds here to go, you're listening to Don and Mike on KXXXXX.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the stations can play promos or whatever they want.
Right.
Well, apparently, that card didn't work, so Joe just went to the next card. And what we wanted you to do, Joe, was to stop that card.
But he turns us down. Do you do that every time? Do you turn us down?
Yeah, I pod you down.
Why? You effed up.
I agree.
You effed up, and we wanted to try to fix the eff up. Because what happens is, on 60 stations, they all hear the stuff that doesn't pertain to them. Opie and Anthony are only on like 5 stations that we're on. You dumbass. Keep us in queue to hear us.
How about if I just don't fade you down until we're in the spot?
Well, if that goes over the line, you know, somebody might hear some language.
Yeah, right. Just keep us in queue.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
Dumbass.
Thank you.
I wish I had invited you to my house.
No. No.
I wish I could have rescinded that invitation, Joe.
But you had a good time, right, Joe?
Well, yeah. Don and Frieda were very nice because I was the first one there and I was kind of nervous that they put me at ease. But you know what, Don? I'll never come over. It'll be cool.
That's fine, Joe. You'll never be invited over. Yeah. God damn it. One simple job that really you could get a monkey to do.
Joe, would you invite Don to your pad?
Sure. We're getting a new place, so we're going to have a housewarming party. But
good. How are you going to pay the rent?
I don't know.
All right. Goodbye, Joe. Goodbye. Turn your microphone off. Just pay attention. You know, when we're not there, he doesn't even have to answer the phone.
Right.
He just has to sit there like an ape and just press a button twice an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he does. Still, he F's it up. Okay, Joe, thanks.
Now, that was very internal, and I thought that was highly entertaining. I mean, I think it gives everybody an idea of exactly. I thought you explained it well in layman's terms for everyone to understand what was happening.
God damn, it's a pisser. Because it makes us look stupid to the people who are listening.
Yes, it does.
To all the stations down the line.
And, you know, it's our names that are out there. You know, it's not, you know, it's not Joe.
Yeah, Joe's. Where's that tape?
Now.
Where's that tape with Joe?
Here you go.
Oops, Charlie. That was my fault, as usual.
There he is. And
a lot of pressure doing a big time radio show.
For what? For Joe?
No, for us.
Yeah. I mean, there's no pressure for Joe. No. Joe's sitting there doing bong hits. You know, Christ, twice an hour he has to play a cart, and we even make the cart a pretty color so he knows that it's the main card to play.
Sure.
Please. Joe, and I'm thinking
of the past. I'm thinking of history. I really am. You know what? I really am thinking of history when Joe came to the show. Do you remember all that? It's funny. It's funny to talk about that.
Why?
You kind of rescued Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
You kind of rescued Joe because
Joe was
the other show, our good friends, the Sports Junkies.
They said the guy screwed up everything.
We're talking much the same way and used to say, man, they're really rough on Joe.
So I said, I think the junks are being to Joe.
You did.
Joe's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
You know, I said, I don't like the fact that the junkies get on the show every day and they start the show every day by screaming about what an idiot Joe is.
That's right.
Well, let me just say to the junkies, you were right. Joe is an idiot. And Joe, seriously, you're not fired. But if you were playing Scrabble or you were doing a word game, then I swear to God you are fired.
Sure.
You are fired. From the instant feedback, forget, this is an example of the type of feedback we're getting. This is so funny. Dear Don and Mike, I just hit my dog with my car while listening to a CD I won for being the 100th caller on your show.
Oh, no.
But now with the horrifying memories of killing Spanky, I can no longer listen to the CD or drive the car. Please send me a new dog and a new car. I know you won't let me down.
There you go.
Toodaloo ass.
We're here to help, sir. We're here to help you.
Here's another
one. That's the way it works. That's what this show does.
Yeah. Here's another one. Dear Don and Mike, I was out yesterday and bought the Madden game, but I forgot I don't own PlayStation. I'm a longtime listener. I started listening at 11 o'clock this morning. Could you please send me a PlayStation today?
There you go. If everybody wants a little help, we can understand that. We're here to help. That's what we're all about.
Hey, Don, I know I haven't won Jack S from you guys, but could you send me a PlayStation too? Dear Don and Mike, I haven't had sex in quite some time. I was wondering, and I know you won't let me down, could you please buy me a whore?
There you go.
Thanks so much.
That's the least we can do.
You won't let him down.
You know, and I think that's really going to be the the mark of the show from this point forward, we're going to help. We're going to be the listener's friend.
That's right.
That's right.
Anything we can do.
Dear Don and Mike, I recently won a case of motor oil from your show. However, I do own a Ferrari. My mistress is greatly disturbed one did not come with the motor oil. I know you'll do the right thing.
Sure, we'll send you a Ferrari.
Long-time listener since 1937.
Special Ferrari motor oil.
Dear Don and Mike.
Ferrari brand.
Dear Don and Mike, I have listened since Monday. May I have a private island of my own?
Private island.
Sure, no problem.
We'll drop it off with pie.
Dear Don and Mike, can you tell me what's coming up at 12 noon so I can decide whether or not to put on the disco station?
There you go.
Here's one from Paul.
I know you won't let him down.
What about the children? Won't someone think of the children?
Wow. Man, oh man, our listeners get it, don't they? That's what makes this show great. That's what makes this show fun to do.
Okay.
And that's got to be a good a new one for write this down for Dude Walker the next time he does it.
Got to already have it.
They won't let you down.
They won't let the kids down.
That's us,
Don and Mike. They won't let the kids down.
Already written it down as a clue.
Very good.
Ah, you got it. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
I'm calling for your defense. Not that you need it, but I was listening that day when that lady called up. And I knew she didn't get it. And you guys mentioned twice that she got the tape. And she was just so excited. All she heard was PlayStation.
Ah.
And I said, this DA doesn't get it.
So you knew that she was cruising down the disappointment highway.
Absolutely. Right. So, you know, I heard it.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
That's
bye-bye.
Cool. Good memory.
Appreciate it. Okay. Let me see. I told you I'm going to get to a lot of stuff on today's show that I've just been carrying around and we've never gotten to. These are just stupid facts that I found on the internet called, bet you didn't know this.
Okay.
Mike, it is impossible to lick your elbow. And I know everyone listening will now try.
I won't.
It is impossible.
Do you know why I won't?
Why?
Because I'm high-functioning intellectually.
Well, hold on. Lisa Herndon is doing it right now. Do it again. Show us, Lisa. Come in. Look at that.
No, she didn't reach her elbow.
No, you didn't.
No.
You came close. You came very close.
You want to try again?
Because it's fun to watch.
All right.
One more time.
Mike, please. Did you know?
I don't want to watch him. Mm. I don't want to watch your 6.1 who you're staring at lick his elbow.
6'5".
6'5".
6'5", did you try that?
Yeah, I can't do it.
You can't do it?
I cannot.
Nobody can do it.
It's impossible.
That's why I'm not trying, and I feel like I'm superior because of that.
You'd be superior if you said you could do it, but chose not to.
There you go.
I can do that.
That would be lying, Rob.
That's okay.
True or false?
Okay.
Rats cannot vomit.
Rats cannot vomit.
True. True. Mm-hmm. True or false? Horses cannot vomit.
No, horses can vomit. I've seen a horse vomit.
Horses cannot vomit.
Oh, yes, they can.
I'm telling you.
Now I'm lying now. I'm sorry.
It's a bluff.
You know, I could have made that go longer.
Let me see. Buzz.
Yes.
In the course of an average lifetime, you will, while sleeping, eat 70 assorted insects and 10 spiders. True or false?
That's probably true.
That is true.
Can you give this to us again? That is disturbing.
In the course of an average lifetime, you will, while sleeping, eat 70 assorted insects and 10 spiders.
Wow. Oh, my God. You mean like that they crawl into your mouth while you're sleeping?
Hold on. I gotta break in.
What happened?
The PlayStation mom is on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Good news?
Okay, the PlayStation mom.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Here you go. The mom's on the line.
Here she is after our delightful message.
Hi, guys. Hello. Hi, honey.
I'm not a DA from that last caller. I knew that it was just a game, but all my friends and family heard me on the radio, and they're like, why didn't you ask for a PlayStation game? Because Don and Mike are so very nice. If they knew
you're still trying.
Now, listen, and first off, you didn't ask for a PlayStation game. That was just the prize we were giving away.
Yeah, so we just gave away the game.
Right, but I was hoping for the PlayStation.
Yeah, but we're not giving away PlayStation.
Honey, I was hoping to wake up this morning and have Elizabeth Hurley pop. That didn't happen.
Yeah, but you got to have me call back and talk, and I know that you guys enjoy that.
Are you still? The angle is you're still looking for the game, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't have one.
Well, you know the machine.
What you have to do, you don't have the machine, and I keep saying game when it's the machine.
The system. Right?
I misspeak all the time. What you ought to do is just sell the game.
Well, I really want
and
to
And great question,
from you guys.
Rob. Are you an only child, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Okay, just checking.
Yes, you are.
Well, listen, seriously, I know what we said in the message was half serious and half kidding, but the serious part is we didn't let your kids down.
No, I know you didn't. Hey, I got to tell you, you guys are great. To come home and get a message on your answering machine from you guys, that was wonderful.
you do what I suggested, honey. Sell your body on the street.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Get the $300 and buy your kids the goddamn place.
All right, now I want to know, what are you planning on doing? Now that you have your final answer, what are you planning on doing with the game?
With the game? I might put on eBay.
That's a good move.
Good plan.
So,
you probably get a little more than you would get retail for. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, thanks for the call, guys. You guys have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Do you know, once she knew she had no chance of getting the game, not the game, the machine.
She didn't want anything to do with us.
She was washing her hands of us. Right.
Because she still thought that she could play that card with us.
Yes. Yeah.
But my friends all said that Don and Mike were, your friends.
Her friends and family.
Your dumb friends. Tell your dumb friends and family to buy you the stupid game.
Right. That's right.
You know what? After all this, I'm not going to get her the game.
You were never...
The machine!
Were you going to get her the system, really?
I was, for a brief period of time, thinking that... You know, we've done that type of thing before. After, like, hours of ball busting, we would finally just go, like, and this is one circumstance where it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate at all.
That's right.
Because you know why? And I was even thinking about it up until the point where she was like, okay, guys, I got to run. No, they're not getting me the machine.
Hold on, I got a better idea.
Hold on.
All right, very good.
This is really going to border on cruel.
Okay.
Do you want me to be cruel?
Yes, of course.
Hey, John.
It's a cruel day.
John, would you come here, please?
There you go. That was my corporate credit card.
All right, very good.
Is there a toy store around here?
Yeah.
Go buy a PlayStation 2.
Seriously?
Yeah. Go buy a PlayStation 2.
Very good.
And get me a hammer.
Oh, no.
She's listening. You know she's listening.
She's listening. And what I'm going to do is I'll buy the PlayStation 2.
Right.
Break it into a million pieces and send it to her.
Very good.
There you go.
Thanks, John.
Please go ahead and go get it right now.
Hey, you know, it's just a good excuse to break something on the show.
Sure. Go get me the PlayStation 2. It's worth it.
Sure.
It's worth the cost.
Hey, if she plays her cards right, she can send it back to the manufacturer and say, look how this came to me.
You may want to change the packaging.
You know what we should do? This to me. Now listen to me.
You know what, though? I'm going to take off any of the tags.
Wait.
She can't send it back.
Wait, Naked Cruelty. Hold on just a second. Wait.
Oh, come on. It's funny, Naked Cruelty.
No, here's the deal. This makes it a bit of a game. Here's what I think you should do. When it comes to us,
yes.
What you should attempt to do, see how much damage you can wreak on that machine while it's in the box. See how much damage you can cause.
But if it doesn't work, how are we going to know without opening the box?
I have faith in you. I have faith that we can all be convinced that you have done serious damage to the machine. But then send her the box. With the machine in it. It's just a thought.
No, because that gives her the out then. She can do exactly what you said. She can go to Sony. She can say, I purchased this.
But you know what? That's the challenge.
I'll compromise with you on this.
Okay.
You know what Sony's going to say to her? We need a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We need to know what store you bought it from.
Make it more of a challenge for her.
And I'm not going to give her the receipt.
Right.
I'm not going to give her the store that we bought it from.
And it makes it enough of a contest to see what kind of initiative she has. But I think the real challenge in all of this is for you to figure out how you can put maximum damage on this machine while it stays in the box. You know, these boxes are designed to protect
the
machinery.
Don't you think it would be more fun, though, just to open up the box, leave the box in pristine shape?
Well, sure, it would be. It would probably be more fun, but I'm thinking...
Bust the thing, like, get a million pieces, put it back in the box and send it to her.
I know that's what you want to do.
Please.
That's what you're going to do. It doesn't matter what I say now, that's what you're going to do.
Please, Mike.
Take it out of the box, smash it.
Because then she could still do...
And then give her the receipt.
She could... No, I'm not giving her the receipt.
Well, if you take it out of the box, then you said you were compromising, so what you should do...
No, I'm not compromising. No.
If you give her the receipt, she'll have your credit card.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to give her the receipt.
Right.
Absolutely not. You know what? If I take it out of the box and I break it in a million pieces, she can still try the same scam. She can still try to go to a retailer and say, hey, I bought this, I got it home.
Well, you'll take it out of the box, and then when you're done with it, put it back in the box.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's what I'm saying.
That'll be fine.
So the box will still be new.
This is true.
She can still go to some retailer and say,
I don't want to be this woman's protector. Don't get me wrong.
And what if she returns it and they don't think to open the box? They give her a return.
Which they've done before.
Yeah, they give her a return.
This machine is not working properly. I don't have my receipt. Well, we'll get you another one. You know, and if she was able to get one out of that, it would be fascinating.
I know if you go to Toys R Us a lot of times, you return stuff. They give you Jeffrey dollars.
If she's listening now, I who knows? I mean, I think she's probably turned off the radio. That is my read on that woman. Nah. Once she determined that we weren't giving her something, she probably went away.
Nah, she's there. She's there. She's listening now. Yeah, she's talking with family and friends about how they can work out some scam to take the busted PlayStation.
Well, if she's listening right now, she knows that she has the challenge because we will send it to her.
That I promise.
Cruel would be just to send her the hammer.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hey, Don and Mike, hello. Are you there?
Are you eating something, sir?
We hear you.
Which line is this?
I hear eating.
Line 12. Pat? Hey, Pat?
Yeah.
Oh, Pat.
Yeah, hey, what are you doing there?
Oh, I didn't hear the buzz. You should hear a
What the hell are you doing? What can we do for you?
Buzz or something.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, when you yelled at Joe the other day, a little while ago, it sounded like the way they talked to Spider in Goodfellas, Joe Pesci.
Yeah, it was kind of spider-like.
Yeah. All right, thank you, my friend.
What am I, on a pay no mindless kid?
I will take that as a compliment. Oh, I've just been brought this exciting piece of action. Action-packed news for you. Come watch Don and Mike get wet as they pay off their wet bet.
When do we have to do that?
Monday night, Mike. Monday night at 8 o'clock. Don, Mike, and the rest of the Gutterballs will be at the number one gay club in D.C.
Wow.
Club Wet. Remember, we made that bet when we bowled against the homos. The bet was, if we lose, we go to the gay club. We have finally determined the time when they can make it and we can make it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's Monday night at 8 o'clock. And we will bring tape recorders with us. What, did you think we were never going to have to do it?
No, I thought we were going to have to do it. I can't talk about it.
Why?
I thought we were doing it.
I did too. They don't open till 8.
Oh, really?
I mean, we all thought we were doing it in the early afternoon.
Thought we were sneaking out in the afternoon and getting that done.
They don't open the place till 8 o'clock.
God, well, I guess we get there right at the opening.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
It's going to be interesting. We're going to go in a very naughty gay club.
Yes.
Very strange.
Club Wet. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey.
I think the best way for you guys to get back at this lady is not to destroy the PlayStation, but get it and give it to somebody else.
Oh, and it would be you.
No, I don't want one. No, just throughout the rest of the show.
No, goodbye. No, trust me, it's better, it's funnier.
And you should tell exactly what time you're going to give it away.
Don and Mike show, hello.
As a clue.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I was actually one of the winners that won this game, and I didn't call and complain or anything like that. I don't have a PlayStation 2.
Yes.
And I 100% agree with the prior call to me. You should send it to me, and that'll show that lady that.
Here we
get
go.
Back, but things will come.
Here
and
comes the greed.
That's
greed,
all we got
greed,
now.
Greed.
Everybody who wants the game. Hello, Chris.
Yo.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, man? I have a PlayStation 2. Give me this bitch's game, please.
Oh, you want the game? We've already sent the game to her.
Yeah.
Aw, come on, man.
Everybody, this is the need and want hour right now.
I love when people argue by saying, oh, come on.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, don't send this lady a PlayStation 2 because I had this same problem. And I called Sony, and as long as you can give them the serial number and the information on the system that you have, they will fix it and send her a brand new machine.
That's a challenge to Don to make sure the machine cannot be fixed.
To make sure that the serial number cannot be found.
I haven't even seen what Don's going to do to this, but rest assured, I do believe that when he gets finished with it, I think all the serial numbers in the world will not put that back together.
I think you're right.
Well, there is a seal on the back of the machine that if that is broken...
And I sent the thing in because I did that.
Listen, we're going to handle it. Don't worry, my friend.
Lighten up.
We'll be on top of it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wow.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's up?
Track Lighting. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Track Lighting. This is Tim.
Yes. Hi, Tim.
Did you hear the latest news over the wire? Bin Laden's dead.
And is this someone trying to scoop Buzz?
Apparently.
Buzz, is this true that Bin Laden's dead?
I would really urge everyone to consider the source
now. I'm watching CNN right now, and they have President Bush addressing the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
I think there is a good chance you may be lying, sir.
Bye-bye.
No, sir. No, sir.
Why? How do you know? Where do you get your access to Associated Press?
It was CNN.
CNN, well, don't you...
Just about 5 minutes ago.
So there's nothing on the crawl.
I'm watching CNN right now, and there's nothing. There's President Bush on TV, and the crawl on the bottom of the screen is about Catholic youth pilgrimaging to World Trade Center.
Well, you know, that probably is Catholic youth pilgrimage somewhere.
And you're drunk, and you're inebriated. Yeah.
No.
You're drunk.
It's
How can we take you seriously?
Just run across the screen. Uh-huh. So.
Just run across the screen.
So you think really if Bin Laden was dead...
Don and Mike, radio gods.
You think if Bin Laden was dead that CNN would just run it as a crawl on the bottom of the screen?
No, it was on the screen.
All right, give us all the details. What exactly did it say?
So tell Buzz to...
Hey, sir, I asked you a direct question. What did it say?
What did it say?
Bin Laden was killed by a drone missile.
Killed by a drone missile?
A drone missile.
A drone
of the
missile.
Unmanned airplanes shot and killed Bin Laden.
What, today?
No, yesterday. They just now found it out.
Just now found
they
it
just
out.
Found it out. Are you making this up? Pal, hey, pal, are you making this up?
Of course he is.
No, that's what they said. Just watch the news. It'll be on there in just a few minutes.
He believes it's real. It might not be real, but he believes
it. I tell you, listen, D.A., I'm watching CNN right now. If Bin Laden was dead, I guarantee it is the story of the century.
That's right.
That they break into President Bush sitting in front of a bunch of Texas D.A.s wearing cowboy hats.
Now, did you hear a reporter talking, or did you watch a crawler on the screen?
I take it back. He's in Denver.
Who's in Denver?
President Bush.
Way to focus, sir. Did you hear a reporter say this, or did you read a crawler on the screen?
A reporter. And I told you first, so remember
yes,
that.
You did.
Thank you.
We'll remember it. Thank you.
I urge everybody, watch the news drunk tonight.
It's our news tip of the week.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Yeah, Buzz. He gets the dollar, too.
That's
seven.
Right.
News tip of the week. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going? This is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, I work at a Toys R Us, and we get this all the time. What you have to do is make sure you pour soda or something on it, this way it's real visible, because what you'll probably do is buy a new one, put the broken one in a new box, and return it and get her money back. And then she's got a new PlayStation, and she gets the money back.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think she's got the $300.
Well, if she scrounge it up, that's what she'll do. Trust me, people do it all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I consider returning something in the United States to be a difficult procedure.
All right, thanks for the update, my friend. Thank you. Thanks for the update. Well, I don't, you know, even if the crazy nutty bitch figures out some way to get it out of it.
But I agree with the soda. You know,
yeah.
Pour a little liquid in it.
You got it.
Liquid and electronics don't mix.
Absolutely. We got a break. I'm not done yet with the bet you didn't know this stuff.
Very good.
And I guess the PlayStation 2 will be here momentarily.
Good.
So we'll break and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I am wearing a handsome medal from the Special Olympics. Christopher Whitham, stand up here. Christopher was on the championship basketball team in the Special Olympics, and he presented me with his medal. Yes. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. I am honored. Now, who's our next player, Burton?
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening, Chief. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Make that the best of Don and Mike on great radio stations all across the Fruited Plain. Let's move along, shall we? A Hollywood legend. That's something I don't get to say very often when I introduce segments on the Best of Don and Mike program, but we got one right here. Mr. Tony Curtis and his girlish bouffant hairdo live on the phone. It's Tony Curtis on the Best of Don and Mike.
Tony Curtis. We just woke him up, and here he is, everybody. Tony Curtis.
Hi, Tony. Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
Now, listen, this is the thrill. The great Tony Curtis, finally on the Don and Mike Show.
Very early for Tony out on the West Coast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Here I am. I'm not on the West Coast.
You're not?
Oh. Where am I? I'm in Dallas.
In Dallas, so that means you're, it's about 10 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
It's about, yeah.
Are you you're a night owl, Tony?
Well, I really don't have much of a choice.
Right.
I'm doing a play, and I don't get done until around 11, but I get to bed comparatively early, so... But I'm a day man.
Now, listen, here's the deal. We could have had, if our schedules would have been aligned correctly, because we're going to be on vacation when Tony is in D.C. at Wolf Trap doing Some Like It Hot.
Yes, right. We will be.
We actually could have had Tony Curtis in studio, which would have been great.
That would have been an enormous thrill.
I get there, you'll do it.
Well, no, we're going to be out of town, Tony. But I will plug the hell out of this. August 27th,
through September 1st, Tony Curtis, Some Like It Hot. In case some of you younger guys don't know, it's the one where he dresses like a girl.
It's a different. Everybody knows it.
That's right.
Everybody knows.
You got a mommy and a daddy. You know somebody dressed up like a woman.
Tony Curtis,
and you know it's on a lot of lists as one of the great comedies of all time. And so you reprise the role that you did in the movies?
No, I don't. I played the part of the Joey Brown part. I played the eccentric, handsome millionaire.
Okay,
I call it typecasting.
Wonderful.
And Mike, for an ever-been-chewed piece of gum, can you name the character on the Flintstones?
Yeah, that was me. Stoney Curtis.
Stoney Curtis
on the Flintstones.
Stoney
Curtis. And it had a lot more meaning than what the name sounded like.
And and Tony, listen, I have to ask you something about your daughter.
Please.
Right up front, your daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, we have had debates on this show for years and years. We finally want to put this what I believe to be a horrible, horrible rumor to rest.
And we had a doctor on the show one day who said, hey, please, don't be offended.
I'm not offended by anything.
It's a tabloid story. I bet he's heard it, sure.
Is your daughter a hermaphrodite?
No. She's half Jewish and half Gentile. That's what you get from mixed marriage.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I asked the question.
It's done now.
I got the answer.
It came from the father. It's done.
I asked.
It's over. Put it to rest now.
Okay. I'll try, Mike.
There. Very good.
I'll try to put it to rest.
There you go. Absolutely.
What do you think when you see your daughter in movies, where she's just incredibly handsome? What are you proud, or is there a part of you that goes, geez?
Well, listen, guys, it's more than that. You know, looking at my daughter is like looking at anybody else. It's only by memory. It's only by some vague sense of being that I realize she is my daughter. There's no way that I can look at her and say, oh yeah, that's her eyes are mine, or her legs are mine, her shoulders are her mother. There's only one thing. Someone once said to me, Jamie Lee is the funniest girl they'd seen on the screen. And this person said to me, where does she get her sense of humor? And I said, she didn't get it from her mother.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, and her mother...
That was supposed to be a joke.
No. We're with you.
Maybe some mannerisms.
Yes, of course.
We're with you.
She's a extraordinarily intelligent girl. Very complex, very intriguing and interesting. Perhaps in many ways like me, and maybe a little bit like a mother. She's very creative. She loves to take photographs. She sees things from a different lens. You know, her humor is exquisite, smart, extremely intelligent.
She has a DMV.
She's a fine girl.
I want to tell you, I saw you out at, I think it was Mandalay Bay. It was for a prize fight. I think it was, I'm not sure who was fighting, but Oscar De La Hoya might have been one of the fighters.
At Mandalay Bay?
Yeah, you watch, when you go to a fight in Las Vegas, you watch the celebrities. The celebrities, to me, for, you know, an average schmuck.
Oh, I remember you were so excited. I saw Tony Curtis.
Well, let me tell you how it worked. You're standing there, and you're watching this parade of celebrities come in. And you're watching, I think David Letterman was there. And I think all the, you know, Drew Carey was walking around. It was absolutely incredible. The guy that made the entrance, I mean, that blew everybody away, was Tony Curtis. You came in, I think you had a huge white cowboy hat on.
A cowboy hat.
And you had a blonde on your arm, and I went, man, after all these years, look at the entrance Tony Curtis makes. You still, I mean, after all these years, you are still able to walk into a room. There are people that have that quality, and you have it.
I'm happy you should say that.
Well, it's true.
I love it. To me, it makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's cool.
People look at me and like me, and me like them. You know, there are no boundaries. I never come in with bodyguards. I don't come with any. All I wear is my big cowboy hat and that beautiful blonde on my arm.
I want to ask you a personal question.
You don't need any more protection than that.
There you go.
I'll ask you another personal question. That I know that
Please.
I know you used to hang around with Marilyn Monroe.
I did.
Did you ever Did you ever go there?
I did.
Oh, God.
I was there in 1949.
And, wow. And how great was
Ireland
that?
Ireland and I was 23. She was just turning 21.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh,
I was on the contract to Universal, and she was trying to get the contract there. So we met very early. I had a dinky car, a green Buick with Dynaflow Drive convertible. And I picked her up at the studio one day and drove her into Hollywood. She was then staying in a hotel. And we started to go to see each other. We went together for about 6 months. It was unique.
Wow. But
listen, I had a lot of girls I went with during that period of time.
Sure.
And what I needed then, and I'm being very frank with you, I needed the experience of being with a woman.
Right.
You know, from the time you're 18 to 23, you give it away.
Well, I got to say, Marilyn Monroe is a pretty good choice to learn with.
Yeah, well, and the same with girls. You've got to be with somebody your own age. You've got to feel out what it's like to be with a man or with a woman. So those early years were really very appealing for both of us. We both knew we would never really end up with each other, but we both had a feeling we could be successful in the profession.
Do you have
that's
one?
What happened from 49 to 50, and then she started working at 20th Century Fox, and we didn't separate. We never lived together, but we certainly were together.
Oh, you're the man, Tony.
And we ran across each other over the years, and then when we did Some Like It Hot, we were already very comfortable with each other, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, I love that honesty. Thank you, Tony.
You know,
at that time, Marilyn was already having some emotional troubles. So,
right.
And that's a shame. She was a beautiful woman.
You know, I think you're very honest and very frank about your relationship with women. Outside of Marilyn Monroe, would there be any... I'm sure there are many women that you dated.
Well, I had love affairs with every one of my leading ladies except one.
Which one?
Who's the only one?
Jack Lemmon.
So really, you would go back and look at a filmography of Tony Curtis and look at your leading ladies,
yes.
And we would know that...
You would always have an idea, yes. So, but you know, that's I'm not telling you guys this because I'm a ladies' man or a men's man or anything else.
But you are...
I enjoy the company of women.
Yeah, who doesn't?
They are delicate, sweet, very pleasant to be around. it's just...
All right, hold on then. I am now remembering, let me ask you one. The movie The Great Race.
Yes. Natalie Wood.
Natalie, is she on the list?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
God damn.
Oh, wow.
Tony.
I mean, in a lifetime, the average guy... Oh, my God.
Natalie Wood.
An average guy goes through 15 towels.
15 towels. You're absolutely right about that.
Wow.
Natalie Wood and Marilyn Monroe. But, you know, what can you say? I mean, that's amazing.
Let me tell you, my dear friends, we don't know each other, but I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm. No, and we believe...
Some of the most beautiful women I ever was with were girls that never made it in the movies, that were trying to make it, that couldn't make it, waitresses... Girls that worked in stationery stores, all you know, from all of the area. And for me, I'm one of those proud heterosexuals.
There you go,
Tony. So, do you know how?
And I see no reason why I could not and cannot enjoy the pleasures of that.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Do you?
I want to encourage all guys to go out and do it.
Do you have to take Viagra
Don't
now?
Wait for mother.
Do you have to take Viagra now?
No. Viagra takes me.
Yeah. God, to grow up and be like Tony Curtis. Are you in a smoking jacket right now with an ascot?
No. No, not quite.
Oh, man.
Because that's how I picture you. Man.
Yeah, well, let's change that now. It's got to be a white linen jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. White linen.
White linen.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And a pair of, let us say, dark blue... Or even black trousers.
Okay.
Okay.
That's for late afternoons. Evenings, it's got to be an Armani suit.
An Armani suit?
Yeah, Armani or your life.
Okay, very good. That's it. I wish I could fit in
Open shirt,
Right.
Open outside the collar.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a cowboy hat, get one.
That's what he was wearing when I saw him. It was fantastic.
Also get some beautiful pairs of low-lying boots now with a couple of inch heels and give that Cuban heel.
Oh, the Cuban, little Latin thing.
Forget it, guys.
All right, fantastic.
You'll pick up Armenian chickens.
Who knew we would get this cornucopia from the great Tony Curtis?
I didn't know that Tony would enjoy talking about sex so much.
Well, right. Listen, it's my life.
Yeah.
It's all our lives.
There you go.
People hide from it and act as if there's something sinful about that experience.
We should celebrate it.
Well, listen, all of us do.
Yes.
None of us. There isn't anybody, you, me, or whoever is listening now, who did not at the time of 4, 5, 9, 8 have a feeling of such extraordinary joy that they thought that God was forgiving them for taking care of their kid brother.
Really?
4, 5, 9, 8 Yeah, amen.
Whatever age you were, you'll never forget that first experience.
No. Yes, of course. I agree. I think that's true.
And you didn't need anybody.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. You were there by yourself.
And women.
And still don't.
So why do we, even fool around or play naive?
Mm-hmm.
Just be good. Just be careful. And you've got to always be a gentleman.
Yes.
You know?
Tony? How have you avoided... Let me ask you a real personal question.
Yeah. Do you wear rubbers?
No.
You don't?
I'm married to a beautiful woman.
Right.
And our relationship is such that any artifacts is not necessary.
Right. Very good, okay.
Before you married, when you were playing the field...
Yes.
Back in the day, even...
You had to be careful.
Would you use protection then?
Yes, one had to be very... very careful.
Sure.
Be careful.
And depending on who you, it isn't a guy walks down the street, sees somebody, says, hey, come on, baby, and she would be the recipient or she would be the one carrying something.
Right.
Everybody carries it.
Okay.
Whatever the disease may be, if there is any.
Gotcha.
So you've just got to be careful. I mean, you're not going to drive your car without gas.
Right.
You know, it's too bad we're not going to be able to actually meet Tony
Someday I hope we have the pleasure. I truly do.
I tell you, one day when I grow up, I want to be Tony Curtis.
I have heard people say that before, and they're happy people to make a comment like that.
The great Tony Curtis in the classic Some Like It Hot.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the website at thehotmusical.info. Okay, that's where you go.
Very good.
Tony Curtis was in this movie with Jack Lemmon, and they dressed like women, and it was back in the day, and there had never been a movie like it.
Yeah, and it really is still to this day, up there. It's up there with the classics like Casablanca.
The American Film Institute voted it the funniest movie of the century.
And it still holds up. It's a good movie to go rent and go check it out.
End up in a movie like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're one of those guys, you saw Dustin Hoffman dress up, in Texas.
He looked ugly.
Listen, right. A pale imitation.
Nobody go after her.
That's right.
Great Tony Curtis.
Yes.
Some Like It Hot, touring through America, now in Dallas.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really enjoyed it.
Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye, Tony.
And goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Tony. He's a character. That is funny. That is, Marilyn, and just matter of fact, and man, Natalie Wood and Marilyn Monroe.
Did you ever go there? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh, yes.
Man, she's beautiful.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, what
a life.
That's all you need to do is just mention those two women. I mean,
what a life.
Oh, my God.
Answer the question right away about his daughter.
The fight with this woman that was like 25.
The only question now that I'm thinking I wish I would have asked him was one of the women that he said he banged Natalie Wood. Elvis said Natalie Wood had bad feminine odor.
Right.
And that's the only thing I wish I would have asked him.
Do we have a filmography? Do we have a filmography of Tony Curtis? Because you could go through all of his movies that he made, and you could go down the list. He said
he banged everybody.
Every co-star except for
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon. So that meant every leading lady he had, I think he was with Elizabeth Taylor.
He banged.
Wasn't he in a movie with Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
It was back in the day. Well, of course it was back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah, when she was really young. But you got to realize when he made as many movies as he did, he's just, they got to love that, too, the leading ladies. Every single leading lady I had, I banged. I banged, I touched, I felt.
An Armani suit.
Armani suit.
Boots. Boots with Cuban heels.
Cuban heels. Linen in the afternoon.
And the cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat. This list of movies he's made, his filmography, it's a mile long. There are a million movies on this list.
Okay.
It's hard to know where to start. You want me to start most recent and work
backwards? Well, no, I mean, you got the leading ladies on there?
No, I just have the list of movies. I can go to each movie and see who the leading lady was on any particular.
Try it, Buzz.
All right. Let's see. Here's one called Sex on the Run, 1981. You want something more classic?
Yeah.
Let's see. The Count of Monte Cristo.
Okay, that's a good one. Who was the leading lady in that?
All right, that 1975 film featured. We're waiting for the page to turn here. Don't you love the pop-up ads? Here it is. It's,
I thought we had a book.
Hold on,
Kate Nelligan is the only female lead mentioned in
But
that
you
movie.
Know, some of the most attractive women never made it in Hollywood. They worked in stationery stores. Waitresses.
Oh, hey, there.
More coming.
Right here. Sex and the Single Girl had Natalie Wood.
Right.
And Lauren Bacall.
Let me see.
You know, the most beautiful women, some of them were actually stationery store workers. Women that worked on the monorail at Disney World.
What about Operation Petticoat?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the Navy one, right?
Yeah,
but that'd be an obscure female.
Yeah, it was mostly men.
It would have to be the ones with his leading ladies, the ladies that involved themselves with him in the romantic comedy.
Unless he slept with Cary Grant.
Cary Grant. He sounds a little bit like Cary Grant.
I think that's by design.
I believe it was
Janet
also.
Lee was his leading lady.
Janet Lee, the mother of Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right, in Houdini. That's apparently where he met her.
Right.
We go back here. We're tracing this to see if we find any others.
I'm working the way.
Women that worked at the bus station.
I hope not. What? He was in a movie called... I hope.
Who?
Meet Danny Wilson. Shelley Winters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he slept with Shelley Winters. I guarantee. Shelley Winters, when she came up, when she was young, was not the big... Fat load from Poseidon Adventure.
P.U.
Oh, yes, I did it when she was fat and when she was thin.
Like Bangin' Rosie.
In The Great Race, he worked with Vivian Vance.
Hello. She wasn't the leading lady, though. That was Natalie Wood.
She was lovely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Mike.
Hi.
Hey, you guys didn't catch the biography last night?
On who?
Tony Curtis.
What was it on? Biography?
On A&E. Biography.
No, I didn't see it.
What'd they say about him?
Oh, well, they just chronicled his whole life. That blonde that you saw him with, Mike, was probably his current wife, although I'm surprised he didn't say it. She is a hottie. When he was about 60, he hooked up with her, and she was at that time about 25.
All right.
So yeah. That's probably who you saw him with. But yes, I thought about you guys, man. I thought you would have caught that last night.
No, I didn't see it.
Did she work at a stationery store?
Not in my show, waitresses.
Waitresses. Women you meet on the street. Even if a woman is driving a taxi cab.
Not in my show. Oh, the other part of that was weird. No. Whatever it is that God gave you the gift. 8, 9, 4, 5.
You had a couple of those, you know. Only in Hollywood statements that were from, you know, the planet Venus.
8, 9, 4, 5.
I'm deciding I'm going to say something that makes no sense whatsoever.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I think that Tony co-starred with Gina Lola Brigida in Trapeze, along with Burt Lancaster.
Gina Lola Brigida, another piece of ass in her day.
Gina Lola Bricks.
Did he ever do a movie with Sophia Loren?
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, good morning, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Video Joe calling from Seattle. You guys missed the ultimate question to ask him about who he banged.
Why?
Well, he did an episode of The Flintstones, so I'm wondering if he tried to do Wilma or Betty.
Okay. Bye.
It wasn't funny, huh?
No, not that.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Video Joe.
Calling about a cameo appearance that Tony Curtis made in about 75, a movie called Exactly None.
Who was in it?
I don't know the head people, but it was just like a walk-on. And he just appeared, like, on the side of the street, hailing a cab.
Well, we're trying to find movies with leading ladies he banged that we would have known.
Because if we can't find any right now, we're going to have to go to the stationery store.
Perhaps to the diner.
I'm looking for some new business cards. Would you F me? Would you F me long and hard?
Do you like my Cuban heels?
I'm wearing a linen jacket.
I am Tony Curtis. I'm wearing a cowboy hat. This is lovely, lovely stationery.
And the knights are money.
I will buy a pen from you, and we will sleep together.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would have banged anything that was breathing.
Yes. Yeah, who can blame him?
That's right.
Who can blame him? What do you got there, Rob?
The leading lady in Spartacus was Gene Simmons. Not the one from Kiss, but right. She was a piece in the day, too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he made a lot of guy movies is the problem as I'm looking into it.
Spartacus.
I didn't know where guys were.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
Okay.
Hey, I think it was like 1995,
Yeah.
Tony Curtis did a movie with Kathy Ireland. It was a TV movie. It was a Bandit series, is what it's called, with Brian Bloom.
I wonder if that counts.
I wonder.
Yeah.
What year was that, you figure?
95?
95, yeah. Kathy Ireland. I got that movie on tape. I watch it all the time.
Yeah, she's grown old.
Hey, I bet he probably had her.
She was lovely. And I wonder if she ever worked in a stationery store. I'm sorry, there's certain things that hang with me.
The sex back when I was 8, 9, 5, 4.
I will look at her. I look at her like a woman. I don't say those are her shoulders or her mother's.
Yeah. But I asked if Jamie Lee had to get the whole big, when I look at her.
When I look at her.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, did you notice how quickly he denied ever having a homosexual experience?
Well, I don't think he denied it. I think it was just like he was matter-of-fact about it. I didn't think he was trying to hide it.
Yeah, and that was one of my questions going in, if he was bi, but I just want to say, if he's bi, he sure is hiding it, because as soon as he came with that Marilyn Monroe pull, right away I said, did you ever get that? Immediately he said, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. But remember the Spartacus scene? Isn't that him and whatchamacallit?
But I don't think Kirk Douglas is a fag.
No way. Don't you think Spartacus, though, is more the way the people react to the movie than the movie characters themselves?
Yeah.
It's like, would you like, Billy, would you like to come up for Spartacus?
In 1955, he co-starred in The Purple Mask with Angela Lansbury.
I think
she was old then.
Nobody tell me in the day she was a piece of ass.
No, there's no way. I saw her when she was younger.
She was
not attractive.
In a stationery store.
She was in a stationery store. I said, if I buy this tiny stuffed bear from you with a heart on its chest, may I bag you?
A beanie baby.
This is great. I'm getting a get well card for a friend. May we sleep together?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
He didn't happen to do any of the little kids in Bad News Bears Go to Japan, did he?
Stop it.
I hope.
All right. I just wanted to ask.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
9.
Well, listen, that's right. 8, 9, 5.
We will check the Tony Curtis filmography and find out if there are any other stars that he may have bedded.
Whenever God gave you the instinct to get...
And then when he said... the first experience, I went, yes. And then he meant, I guess, the first time you were...
yourself.
Right. Aware sexually.
8, 9, 5, 4.
Whatever. In a stationery store.
Cowboy hat.
I'm Stony Curtis.
And at night, it's Armani or nothing.
Absolutely. And then kick off your Cuban heels and bang the lady from the Hallmark shop.
What a great, great guest he was.
He was fun.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That tape's not playing. No. Will it cue, do you think? Here's what's funny. Hi, Beth Ann.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for this.
Oh, hold it. I think it'll play now. Try it now. Here's Ocean's 11.
All right. Now, I have complied with your every request. Would you agree?
I would.
Good, because now I have one of my own.
Run and hide, asshole. Run and hide. If you should be picked up next week by a $100,000 sports car in Newport Beach, I'm going to be supremely disappointed, because I want my people to find you. And when they do, rest assured, we're not going to hand you over to the police. So my advice to you again is this. Run and hide.
The Don and Mike Show. Featuring new dimensions of hatred. The Don and Mike Show.
The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
Where you go when you need them.
I know. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak. And I'll tell you what's funny about that. You hear that tape misfire? It's the first time I've gotten that band to run the board.
It's like you planned it.
I know. It's funny. It's really sad and funny all at the same time. But we've got the best of Don and Mike for you on Friday. And what does Friday mean to me? It means LBJ on the BODAM, or as we like to say, Low Budget Jeopardy on the best of Don and Mike.
BBS.
Well, maybe. You watched 60 Minutes last week. Now, I watched it, and I saw these guys.
How are you?
Hey. And I...
It's good to see you.
I didn't think the counterpoint. It didn't work.
It's actually not called that any longer. It's, I forgot what it's called.
Anyway,
it's pretty good.
It has our man...
How are you?
DC.
How are you? Good to see you. How you doing? I got my buddy here, my debate partner over here. He'd like to come over. Should we give him a microphone, too?
Yeah, let's give him. We have both Bill Clinton and Bob Dole here.
How are you?
This is great.
Hey. Bob Dole. How are you?
Doing fine, Bob.
I'm Noel. I'm older than the last time I saw you right here. It's good to be here. We weren't real thrilled with the American people want a good debate, and that's what we need in this country, a good debate to have people argue. Me and the Mr. President over here, unfortunately, I lost to him in the election, but we're going to be really excited about doing it, and we're going to continue to have our debates, and the country needs a good forum for the debate and all the things.
Hey, Bill?
Oh, man.
God damn it.
Did you get any of that?
Not a word.
I didn't get any of that.
Hey, listen, has he told you any of that stuff about how old he is? Like,
oh, no.
Have you ever asked him?
I will be incorporating it. What I'd like to do is I'd like to incorporate it into the debates that we're going to have. And I will be working that into some of the debates that we will be having. I will be working his age in, because I think that's where I stand to benefit, is by attacking him directly on his age. And we could do it for you. We're prepared to debate any subject. We can do it off the cuff.
Goddamn
right we are.
Wow.
Slick Willie and I will do that for you right now. And I'll tell you, it'll be more spicy than you get on the regular network right now. How are you, Don?
I'm fine, and let me tell you...
I heard the Satan piece. It was marvelous.
Let me tell you something, Bob.
I enjoy that quite a bit. I like the devil. The devil humor makes me laugh.
Bob, let me tell you something.
Bob Dole. Call me Bob Dole.
Bob Dole.
Please don't call me Bob. That's just... I could be any Bob. Like, what about Bob? I'm Bob Dole.
Bob Dole?
Bob Dole right here. I'm over there.
Your segment sucked last week on 60 Minutes.
I'm aware of the fact that it sucked, and America wants better dialogue between me and President of the United States, former President Clinton. We're going to offer Americans more of a spicy thing. I will be attacking former president on his sexual prowess, and he will be attacking me on my age, no matter what the subject is.
Then let's begin. Let's start. The topic you have chosen is, and I'll give each of you 1 minute. The topic is age. President Clinton first.
Well, I'll tell you something, Bob. I've followed your career for a long time, and although you may have been having lunch with Abe Lincoln or running on cave walls or riding in a cart with Socrates or maybe piloting your own chariot, your age does not enable you to see the issues as clearly as I do. I, first of all, defeated you rather handily in the election, Bob, and I understand your bitterness exists to this very day. I wish that we could come together as Americans and you could throw your Alzheimer's bitterness in the back pocket and not have to completely misrepresent my record and the facts the way you did so eloquently back when you campaigned futilely against me. You're old, Bob, and pretty soon this debate will be me on one side and you looking at me squarely out of a pine box.
Oh. Now, with the opposing point of view, Bob Dole.
Now, Mr. President, once again, you've missed all the topics, and I'll tell you right now, I'm going to stand up here with my dead arm, and I'll tell you right now, as I look you in the eye, we're not going to debate age, we're going to debate morality. And we know in the country that you have no morality, Mr. President. As a matter of fact, I call right now on this national forum and this national stage for an STD test. That's right, every single one of them. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, AIDS, every single one of those diseases that you've probably contracted during your illustrious career of womanizing, Mr. President. I don't care about age. I may be old. Bob Dole may be old.
How old are you?
Right now, I'm 374 years old. It's not a point. It's not germane to the argument. What's germane to the argument is the fact that this man will put his... just about anywhere it's invited. And that's what he's done throughout the country, and that's what he's done throughout his 10 years as a public official. I will tell you right now, Mr. President, let me get a glass of water. I'm old.
What would your friend Abraham Lincoln have said about this?
Abe Lincoln would have said, take off your jacket, Bob Dole. Take your tie off, Bob Dole. Take your shirt off and do these debates in a wife beater T-shirt. That's right. And if Clinton gives you the hairy eyeball, you put up your dukes and you say, I'll show you how old. Excuse me, that's it.
All right, let's now go.
We have a rebuttal from the president.
Yes, President Clinton, 1 minute for you on the clock.
All right, Mr. Dole, I will tell you right now, the seasons of a man's life are very significant, and your branches are beginning to fall on the ground. And unfortunately, the seasons of a man's life have ended for you. You will not be coming to spring very soon. As a matter of fact, you are in the winter of your existence, and you will not be blooming in the spring as I do quite mercifully every single spring. When the buds burst, the bees come out, and we pollinate the flowers. That's right, Bob. Now, you may have enjoyed your chariot races back in the days of Ben-Hur, but right now, your time has passed, and that is exactly why you're not able to understand the wishes and the meaning of the American people and the American experience. I'll tell you right now, Bob Dole, I've got a piece of advice for you. What you want to do is crawl. Crawl into your casket and just get it over, all right? I'll tell you, your future smells of soil. That's right. The only debating you'll be doing will be 6 feet under the ground, debating with beetles and worms. Thank you.
Bob Dole, would you like to respond?
I certainly would. I consider that a personal affront to my dignity. It might be very easy for you, President Clinton, to sit there and attack me on my age, but I'll tell you right now, I attack you on the fact that you're not a good man. You're not a decent man. Lick it, Mr. President. That's what I tell you right now. As I take off my jacket right now, we're going to tell you one thing.
What's that?
I may be clutching this pencil in my dead arm, but I'll tell you my other arm's perfectly good. And I'd like to challenge you personally right now to a fight, because I'd be able to take this good arm and puck those eyeballs right out of your lily white head. That's right, you avoided war. Bob Dole never avoided a war in his life. Bob Dole never avoided a fight in his life. Bob Dole wants to fight you, Mr. President. I will fight you with my good arm right now, no matter how old I am. I'll fight you right now, and I'll tie this arm behind my back, and you can tie your behind your back, Mr. President, because that's the only thing you use.
I will allow you to fight in the last minute.
Wow.
Of
he's better. He is so totally better, man.
Let's change the topic.
Man, oh, man, do you got any candy?
And we'll go with Bob Dole first.
All right, what do you want? What's the topic now?
The topic is service to our country, particularly, I don't know, I'm going to give President Dole. Almost President Dole.
Thank you very much, Don. Yeah. That was a Freudian slip, but I know you meant it. Yes, sir. Bob Dole would have made a good president. Those days have passed me by.
The chance to speak about the service you performed to the country over the last 375 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Senator Bob Dole. I'd like to talk to you about service to our country. You know, a lot of candidates talk about the service to their country and how they've served America brilliantly, but there's only one individual in this debate who served his country more magnificently than any other individual. I'm not talking about Vietnam or Korea or even WW2. I'm talking about all the wars. That's right. People might know the fact that Bob Dole served in all of them. World War I, the War of 1812, the Revolutionary War, all of the conflicts going back to the Peloponnesian War and the Crusades over on the continent of Europe. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, on the island of Ireland, when the Vikings were coming across the sea, it was Bob Dole that organized the Celts and said, pick up those sticks and throw rocks at those boys. That's right. It was Bob Dole that drove the Vikings out of Ireland with the Celts. Bob Dole came to King Richard and said, Richard, we're going to beat the Scotsmen back. And then I'd go up to Scotland and I worked on both sides of that fence. That's right. Absolutely. You know the movie Braveheart? That's not about that guy, William Wallace. It's about Bob Dole.
And now, excuse me. For 60 seconds on his service to our country, President Clinton.
I'd like to turn down this debate. I feel that we are getting far too ahead of ourselves, and I'm going to tell you right now that the debate that we're talking about here is service to our country. And what really is service? I consider service to be servicing our country. And that's what I strive to do that in each and every day. From my offices in Harlem, I will venture out into Midtown Manhattan on the Broadway and service so many of my constituents that it would spin your head around. I remember there was a young lady a long time ago on the campaign trail. I would walk up to her and I'd say, sir, I want to hear in this country. And I have provided these services to people who need it. I'll never forget the young lady of 25 that I met in Newark, New Jersey on the campaign trail. And after an afternoon of quality Bill Clinton servicing, she had a gleam in her eye that I will never forget as long as I live. She had the best rack, and slowly I would take my hands and run it down her.
Now, we're running out of time.
I'm a bipartisan diddler.
30 seconds, each of you, I'd like
to be happy to, but I want to fight him dead.
You'll be able to fight.
I want to fight him dead.
I'm going to fight after. I'm going to give each of you one more 30-second rebuttal thing here, and then you can fight.
Who gets to go first? I'd like to do it right now.
I'd like each of you to talk about what your wife has meant
to your life, personally and politically, in 30 seconds. Bob Dole first.
I've talked about Liddy Dole. Liddy Dole is the woman behind the man. And you know, occasionally I'm getting choked up.
Oh, no.
Excuse me, I'm an old man and I get teared up. I'll tell you right now, she's the best lady since Cleopatra. And she stole my heart a long time ago when I was a young centurion working for the Roman Empire. I'll tell you right now, Liddy Dole has been behind me every step of the way, and there's something I'd like to say to her. I love you, Liddy. And I'll stand behind you as long as these Bob Dole lips are breathing air.
And now, President Clinton, 30 seconds for you talking about your wife, Hillary.
All right. You know, you want me to what?
Are you hungry?
I'm very hungry right now. I'd like some candy, if it's possible. No, this is difficult for me to do. I don't see my wife as often as I should, but she is a fine conversationalist. And she has a way of making people...
Well said.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well said. And wow. The final minute we have with
there
this...
There you go. That's right. Because you cheat on her.
And the
you're a cheater, you pig.
And the final minute now...
I build a pyramid, a-hole.
Listen, why don't you both just take your shirts off...
Right.
Let's fight. You want a minute of fighting?
I don't
want
to fight him. I don't want to fight Bob.
Bob, do you want to fight?
I want to fight him right now with this arm tied around my back. I'll bite him.
Go ahead.
Oh, I can't say that on it.
Go at it.
Are we on TV?
Go at it.
Mr. President.
There he is.
Get your hands off it. All right. I got my teeth in his thighs. I got my teeth in his
thighs. I got news for you. Bob Dole is kicking his ass.
He's no good. Yeah, I use my teeth. That's what I use, Bob Dole. Take them out and I'll do them again.
No, you don't touch me, old man. You're hurting me. You're hurting me badly. I am beginning to bleed.
Hey, of course you're beginning to bleed right now. Eat my pen. Come on now, eat it. Lick it. Lick my pen.
Oh, my God.
Make him say Uncle Sam.
Say Bob Dole.
Oh, I don't want you to say.
Say Bob Dole or I'll make you eat the pen. I'll give you a pen suppository.
Bob Dole! Bob Dole, he wins!
Okay.
Wow.
Fight is over.
I had no idea.
The winner
is... completely and totally out of breath. That's like when I played that rugby game over at Oxford.
Bob Dole!
Bob Dole is a big winner. Look at the bloody face of our former president. Look at his bloody scars. You remember those Bob Dole pen scars. I carry a bunch of sharpened pencils and pens in my pocket that I can access with my good arm in a lightning-fast move that will result in a severed jugular vein. There you go. Bob Dole, I've been a champion since the days of the Roman Empire.
President Clinton, I think you were hurt by the fact that Bob Dole has been around...
He's angry.
...since dinosaurs ruled the earth.
I am not a gladiator.
I was a gladiator. That's right. You remember that movie? Movie they made? I knew all those things.
Russell Crowe?
I used to wear the big metal masks, and I'd go in there, and I'd look at the emperor and say, Bob Dole's ready. Bob Dole stab his, he'll vanquish his opponents. Absolutely. Okay,
we got a break.
Oh, man, I tell you, this is a good victory for me. I haven't felt this strong since I built Niagara Falls.
We need a couple of callers to play low budget Jeopardy here with the presidents and, you know, Don, the guy that was almost the president, Clinton and Dole.
Don, is there an outside? Shot, I could get a cold cloth to my face is a bit puffy and bloody.
You know,
hey, goddamn right it is.
You know who I bet you need to see?
Who's that?
Hold on a second. Oops.
Did you call a police officer?
No. This is for you.
All right.
Let me just see if she's here.
Think twice about going against Bob Dole again. Here, Cherie. Once I take off my suit coat.
Where's
Stinky Pound?
Hello. Yeah. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, where's
Joe George, your fine supporter of the Bob Dole campaign.
Where's Lisa?
She's here.
Oh, I know what you want to do. I don't want to talk to her. Liddy doesn't like me talking to any of the little fillies.
Put her on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not for you.
Doesn't like me doing that ever since I had my affair with Joan of Arc.
Let's see what.
I would like to personally offer my congratulations, dear.
Lisa, Bill, Mr. President,
yes.
Requires some ice.
I've been attacked by Senator Dole, and unfortunately I'm not feeling too perky. Even though in your current state of matrimonial bliss, is there an outside shot you could rub me down?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lisa. She's a good egg, that one. Oh, man. I'll send her one of my Oval Office thongs.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, cloudy skies this morning. Don't mess with your hair this morning, girls. Don't bother, you know, leave it up until you get to work this morning because it's going to come out anyway. Becoming partly cloudy later on this afternoon with highs to around 80. The degrees are 67. How do you like the show so far this morning?
I think we're going to have to submerge, Commander.
Hey, the good guys moving with music here at 7:04 in the morning with Harp Walk from WPGC number one. The Grovers are here. Bunch of local guys making good there. The Grovers, they're from Fredericksburg, Virginia. The song He Will Break Your Heart, the old, brought up in brand new 1969 style. Check the time at 8 after 7 with Harvey.
Come on and may us go.
Questomatic lines are now open. Call WPGC at 779-1580. Request any record we're playing on Good Guys Radio. Our choice of callers, your choice of records.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Our choice of segments, your choice of records, whatever that means. It is the best of Don and Mike, and look at the big clock on the wall, just about half past the hour. And you know what that means on the best of Don and Mike? Hello to Travis Edelin upstairs in the tough room, because he's on the fast track to greatness on the CBS food chain. Hi, Travis. Hope you're doing well. All right, we're in the middle of a Friday favorite. It's Low Budget Jeopardy with Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. Let's get ready. Let's do it. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Guess what you missed during the commercial break?
What did I miss? The old man?
It's a lie. It's a total lie. I didn't smell of my skin.
He's lying. I think he made.
Bob?
What?
Bob?
What do you want? Don't antagonize me.
Pull down your pants. Let me just see your underpants.
I will not do any such thing.
If you've got nothing to hide, pull down your underpants.
That's not true. I broke wind. That's all it was.
Pull down your underpants.
That's more than wind.
Pull down your pants.
All right, here you go.
Let me see your underpants.
There you go. Take a look.
Oh!
I'm terribly sorry. No, they're brown. They're brown briefs. I'm putting them back up now.
They're not...
Well, you just have to tolerate it because I'm Bob sitting there and supper.
I guess we will. Man, who doggy? That is painful, isn't it?
Hold on. If we got to be honest here.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
You've had...
I were once made when I was here on your show, and you put me under a great deal of pressure and a great deal of scrutiny, but I'm glad to be here.
How things go with Lisa?
Great. She gave me a great... Look, I don't have any marks on me, man.
Look at that.
She took some Neosporin to my cuts and then put some lotion on me everywhere, just like she always does.
Hey, Bob?
She put some lotion on me, and then I gave her...
Bob?
Yeah.
I bet you got... Bob's got to be disgusted by that.
I'm disgusted by the total behavior. So I'll be sitting back here in the corner. I will only be coming into your game to read the prize. I'll be over here in the corner in my own filth.
These are the guys that are on 60 Minutes. It's Bob Dole.
Would you have a wooden spoon?
Bill Clinton.
I need a wooden spoon to clean up.
President, is this Let's Play Low Budget Jeopardy?
It's spreading.
All right, I'll try to ignore that. This is your former president. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is an insurance underwriter from Fredericksburg. Let's say hi to the very lovely Jennifer O'Hara. Hello, dear.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jennifer.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
What are you doing right now? Playing the game, I guess, huh?
Yes.
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a great time.
I could speak with you for hours.
You got to talk to the other guy.
Oh, all right. And now entering the studio is the facilities manager from Seattle, Washington, one of your newer affiliates. I listen all the time. Let's say hi to Ken Brown. He could relate to our senator over there.
Same color. Same color as Bob Dole's underpants.
Hey, shut up, pantyways.
Good day, Bob. Bill, LQ. How are you?
Howdy.
Today?
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. I'd like to tell Jennifer and Ken not to screw with LQ and say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Bill, and
thank you.
And Bob, wherever you are back there.
Back in the corner in my own fist.
Cleaning yourself with a spoon.
I need an orderly.
Here are your categories. They are Clinton Dole on TV.
Very good. I appreciate the promo. That's good. Very good stuff, Don.
Celebrity news.
Uh-huh.
Former Don and Mike show interns / or people who had Joe's job.
I've known a few of them.
Joe.
Shut up.
NFL free agents.
I hate
teams.
All of you. I hate you, Bill.
He's not doing well, is he?
He's very old.
I'm sorry. He interrupted you. Go again, please.
That's, let me see. Don and Mike show interns,
yeah.
Former interns. NFL free agents changing teams.
I love football.
And new on Vivid home video.
Very good.
Bob, you remember back in the day when you played with what, just a stone, a rock?
I actually play with human heads. We play football with human heads of our vanquished opponents on the fields of Roman Empire. Oh.
He's pathetic.
It does
yeah. Spoon, he won't have that problem any longer.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Jennifer, you are a girl. We like girls better than boys. Let's go with you.
I'm sitting in a stinging reminder of my age.
Let's take New on DVD one, please.
New on DVD. All right. Stars Eddie Murphy.
What is...
I'm sorry, dear. Sorry, you didn't get that one. Ken, your chance to steal here.
What is Pluto Nash?
No.
Negative. I Spy.
I Spy, yeah. It wasn't a big theatrical success, was it?
It was not.
Jennifer, dear. Hello, are you there?
I'm good.
Are you still having a good time?
I am.
I'm good. I'm glad for you. Jennifer, you're still in control. Select again, please, dear.
Take New on DVD for two.
How are you?
Stars Michelle Pfeiffer.
What is White Oleander.
Yeah, right. Yeah. See, a girl would get that White Oleander. You ever bang that Michelle Pfeiffer?
I saw that White Oleander.
Yeah, she
showed that to me. Yes, her husband was a big supporter of my campaign. That was my standard operating procedure. Money from the husband. Sex from the wife. That's the way it worked. It was a brown oleander. I like that kind.
What about with you, Bob? Was it? Were they trying to pelt with you? Is that what happened?
I'm dealing with my own brown oleander right now, and I don't wish to be disturbed. Just leave an old man alone to die in his fist.
All right, for three, and...
Jennifer's in control.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Stars Greg Kinnear. This movie stars Greg Kinnear.
Oh.
I know. Getting your chance to steal, but I know this one.
About Schmidt?
Negative.
No. It's that one. It's that sex one.
Autofocus.
He liked to make pornographic movies of his sex act.
Bob Crane, the guy from Hogan's Heroes.
It was a real tragedy that he no longer lived. I would have had him over at the Oval Office.
Hey, Bob Dole.
How do you want? I'm back here, not feeling very well.
You were really in World War II, weren't you?
World War II? Hell, I used to live in Atlantis.
Jennifer, dear. You're in control.
Let's try celebrity news for one.
Celebrity news. This whorish pop star is writing 5 children's books.
Who's Madonna?
Yes.
$2 for you, and let's put that poor girl down. I am a fan of Madonna. That's always happening.
I know it's your segment here, Bill, but Bob...
What do you want now? I'm trying to sit there and try to catch a nap.
You knew the original Madonna, didn't you?
I did. The Madonna, Mother of God, Mother of Jesus, Mary, Mother of God, the Madonna. I knew her, and I was a familiar sales lady.
Oh, Madonna
too.
Madonna friends.
Leave me alone.
Okay. Jennifer, here you go for two. This West Wing's anti-war views have gotten his Visa card commercial canceled.
Who is Martin Sheen?
Yes, Martin Sheen.
$2 for Jennifer. Hey, snuck over to the microphone. I pushed panty waist away.
Leave me alone. Go over and sit. The smell is unbearable in here. Right now.
Noah was anti-war. All right. Again, Jennifer.
You mean Noah, the guy with the boat?
2x2. I'll be over here if you need me. I'm calling right now.
All right, for three.
Very good.
Jennifer, for three. This former Good Morning America hostess is expecting twins with a surrogate mother.
Who's Joan London?
There you go. That's a good pull.
$3 for you, dear. You're doing a great job. Are you still having a good time, Jennifer?
I'm having such a great time.
And we are having one with you. All right, select again, please.
Clinton on TV?
This would be Clinton.
And Dole.
Clinton and Dole on
forget
TV.
Forget about me, Jennifer. I'm back here.
I'm sorry.
Bill Clinton first publicly played the saxophone on TV on this late-night talk show.
What is Dave Letterman?
No.
Oh, dear, you're wrong. Ken, your chance to steal.
What is The Tonight Show?
Negative. Doesn't anybody remember Arsenio Hall?
I certainly do. No. Whoa, 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 whoa. Arsenio in the dog pound.
The woof woof.
And I had my sunglasses, and I got laid that night. Oh, absolutely. Hollywood is wonderful. I wish I lived out there instead of Harlem.
Bob, what was it like when the TV was invented?
TV was very exciting innovation. It was very exciting back there, but not nearly as exciting as radio or the telegraph or the Pony Express. We'd send messages across this great land of ours by horseback.
That was the good days, by golly. I remember that. And I brought down Jesse James.
Oh, good.
I did indeed. You can mock me and laugh, both of you, because I'm an old man sitting punk.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Jennifer,
select again, Jennifer.
For two. Here you go. Bob Dole had our name screamed at him while he was on this late-night talk show.
It was Letterman.
Yeah, that's right, on Dave Letterman.
For you, yes, I remember. It was very, very funny. It was Nick Joe, your Korean intern.
Oh, you've just given away one of the answers.
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to jump ahead.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's, you know, the thing is, see, you're young and vibrant and hip and ready with the answers. And look at old, look at the caveman back there.
I'm not a caveman. I'm a United States Senator. It's about time you remember that. Back in the day, those kind of words would be, remove your tongue is what we'd do. We'd hack your tongue out like we did back in the days of Socrates.
Hey, listen, I want to ask you that. I was watching a TV movie the other night.
Why, they relegated me to over here.
How were those Salem witch hunts?
They were terrible. It was a bad time in our history. I never should have burned any of those girls. Bob Dole was the chief prosecutor. That's right. I knew how to get a witch to burn. I could do that in 5 minutes or so. I said, she was out in the forest dancing around nude. That would get him every time.
Okay, we got to get back to the game. Jennifer, for
back
three.
To the game now.
Jennifer, yes. Just name one of the two products that Bob Dole has done national TV ads for.
One of the two?
Yeah.
Viagra.
That was not in the form of a question.
Man, oh man, I tell you, your chance to steal, Kent.
What is Viagra?
$3, yeah. And he finally gets on the board.
Yeah, we
talking Viagra, and it got me excited. I just forgot all that.
I am certainly glad to hear that. All right, Kent, you strike again.
Former Don and Mike interns.
Yeah, you got to be a long-time listener to know these.
I love this category.
He screamed our names on the Letterman show.
This is Nick Joe.
Yeah, who's that? But you wouldn't have known that if Bubba hadn't given that to you.
That's true.
I was so glad to help you. Thank you. All right, go again. Select again, Kim.
Don and Mike, former interns for two, please.
Even dumber than Joe Ardinger. We had a major fight with this idiot during a snow event.
I'd love to say Rob, but I know that's wrong.
Oh, hey!
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
Oh, such a pain in the ass, too.
He was, but I'm sure you remember it, Joe Rockhead.
Yes,
he was as dumb as a box of cotton balls.
He was.
All right, Ken, you're in control.
Let's go former Don and Mike intern to close it up.
Pretty.
Oh, you're making me laugh now. Ken?
Yes, sir.
Do you have an answer?
No, I don't.
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
I didn't understand the question.
That was very simple. It was very Homer-like. It was...
That meant she was pretty.
Pretty. Of course. Christine Kerner.
Kerner. Mm. Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah.
And, Ken, you're still in control, or is that the end of the first round?
No, we got the NFL free agents.
Oh, there you go for one. Is that right, Ken?
That's right.
All right,
plug in the radio, Ken.
Ken, Brian Mitchell went from the Philadelphia Eagles to this team.
I have no idea.
The Philadelphia Athletics.
What was that?
Philadelphia Athletics. Oh, brave.
The Eagles.
All right. Jennifer, your chance to steal. Oh, it's all right.
Jennifer?
Yes?
You got a guess?
What is the Redskins?
No, honey, but it's okay because you're a girl. No, he went to the New York Giants.
Ken, you're in control.
Same category, please. NFL free agents.
Cordell Stewart went from the Pittsburgh Steelers to this team.
The Rams?
That was not
the form of question.
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
What is the Rams?
The Bears.
And Ken, you're still in control.
Philadelphia Hebrew.
For three, the last
one. Please.
She's on the big board. Did you say Philadelphia Hebrews?
I said the Philadelphia Hebrews.
Peerless Price was traded from the Buffalo Bills to this team.
What is the Browns?
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
What is Carolina?
Yes, honey, the Atlanta Falcons. And that's it, we're done.
That's the end of the first round of Bulldog Jeopardy.
Now, who's got what here, Bill?
Jennifer finishes with $11. I think I might have messed up the score, though, and Ken has $4. It doesn't matter. It's low-budget Jeopardy.
Guys, here you go. We force you to bet it all. We physically finally force you to bet it all. Low budget Jeopardy, final round, and here's your category: Big Head's birthday.
Good old Big Head, you know him.
Rob Spiewak.
Right.
Someone called for a doctor.
Yeah, you know Robbie.
Look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut, would you?
Just last weekend, my best buddy Rob Spiewak celebrated a birthday, making him this age. Just last Saturday, Rob A. had a birthday, making them this age. Give us the age. Don't forget, it's got to be in the form of a question, and good luck.
My turn. I'm going to do it. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy received the Bob Dole Book of Ancient Skills, a book that even the president could benefit from, a book of instruction on ancient skills. How many youngsters today know how to keelhaul a pirate or light a gas lantern? How many of our citizens can load a Civil War cannon or bring down a saber-toothed tiger? It's all there, Mr. President, in the Bob Dole Book of Ancient Skills. Get it right now and be prepared to make some war. All right. Now back to final Low Budget Jeopardy without Inspector Geronimo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donald.
Now, today, with cash for you and me, it's time for Don and Mike to play Low Budget Jeopardy.
Want to go to Ken?
Want to go to Kenny's low man on the totem pole. I'm getting Mike run away from Mr. President.
Bill, who's in charge here? Ken, he just had a birthday. Current age of our very own wonderful hump, Rob Spiewak.
What is 40?
Ouch.
Oh, no, that knocks you down to zero, Ken.
Jennifer, honey, you can win if you have the right answer.
I don't think I do, but I said 43.
And that was not even in the form of a question. Rob's having a great laugh at this.
Sorry,
Rob A.
Someone called for a doctor?
32.
I remember when I was 32. Fire wasn't invented yet.
That means Alan Line 1 loves this game. We give it away. No money. So listen, both of you, Jennifer and Ken, don't go away mad. Just go away. Here's Bob Dole to tell you what you want. Bob or Bill, I don't know who.
First of all, Jennifer, you want a pair of tickets before you can buy them to Ozfest 2003. I love Ozzy. At Nissan Pavilion, Friday, August 22nd, starring Ozzy Osbourne. Also featuring Korn, Disturbed, Marilyn Manson, Chevelle, and Tress Company. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon in all Ticketmaster locations and online at cc.com. Congratulations, dear.
That's awesome.
I want to give a prize to the boy.
All right, Ken.
Kevin. All right, Karen.
Kevin.
You've won a pair. That's exactly what I said. You've won a pick. Kevin, you've won a pair of tickets to WrestleMania XIX at Safeco Field in Seattle on Sunday, March 30th. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster locations. Tickets are courtesy of the WWE. Or I'm not Bob Dole. Congratulations. Thanks for playing the
Bob
game.
Bob Dole.
I wrestled in Athens, Greece. Back in the day, Jeffrey, we'd wrestle nude.
Here's some good prizes. You got Ozfest. You got WrestleMania. Thank
I've
you both.
I've got a pants.
Have a great weekend. It's been great having both the... Both of you here, if only you were this good on 60 Minutes.
Yeah. Thank you, Don. I really think you gave us a nice forum to promote our new thing on 60 Minutes. Thank you. I'm sincere about that.
Thank you, Bill and Bob.
Thank you very much. Wheel me out of here.
All right,
I
always
need to be cleansed.
Always remember, never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Low Budget Jeopardy, that's a hybrid. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World.
What's a hybrid?
Tell the boy to stop handing up the signs. It's confusing the entertainer.
I got you.
God damn it, Rob. Big Head.
There we go. Clint Lindell.
Was Rob writing too much?
He gets a little crazy when Bob Dole's around. He loves the old stuff.
We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, it's very important that you don't speak. Not a word. I just want you to listen. Understand? I've heard some rather disturbing news about you.
Really?
Not a word. Rumor has it, I'm to be used as target practice. Really?
Shut up!
The Don and Mike Show.
Like corn.
Well, what he was going to say was, enjoy it a second time. It's the best of Don and Mike. Hi, I'm Dude Walker. No, not really. It's Rob Spiewak on a good-looking Friday. Don't be sad that today's episode of the Best of Don and Mike is almost over. No, no, because we have more Best of for you come Monday, including a tearful reunion with Dr. Fad, Ken Okuda. It's a real train wreck. You'll love it. And also, the time that Mike O'Mara forgot my birthday. I do believe you'll enjoy it. Let's move on. A couple years ago, maybe closer to 3 years ago, Buzz's stomach exploded. Yes. And while we did not have that on the radio, we did call him in the hospital. And for God's sake, all the man wants is some apple juice. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Joe, who's on 444?
I think it's Buzzito.
Buzz!
All right, thank you, my friend. Here he is now, joining us from his deathbed, Radio's Buzz Burbank.
Hey,
hi,
Buzzy!
Buzz.
Hi,
Don. Hi, Mike. Hi.
So glad to hear Buzz. From you, Buzz.
Oh, man, he lives.
Buzz, more hell. You're going through more medical hell.
Oh, you can't even believe it. I'm being held prisoner here. It looks like this was supposed to be outpatient surgery.
Now, Buzz, you went in. Yeah. The secret is out of the bag. You went in to have your eyes lifted.
Right.
To have some chin work done.
That's right.
And to have your ears...
tucked, yeah.
But what the hell has gone wrong, really?
They didn't expect, a little something happened they didn't expect. They got inside to do the surgery, and they found a shrapnel from both World Wars. So it was a little more complicated than they expected. But, I'm stuck here. And guess what? I haven't bathed for 3 days, so I've got that sort of all-over itchy feeling.
Man, this is horrible. When are you going to... Are you going to get a lawyer to do the malpractice suit?
I told Mike you were getting a sponge bath when we spoke this morning.
Yeah, well, it didn't help that much, you know. It's sort of like the Elvis bath. I need the pill that Elvis took, I think. I haven't bathed. I haven't eaten anything in 3 days. The only thing I can consume, I'm allowed to have right now, is water and apple juice. And guess what the hospitals are just flat out of? Apple juice.
Apple juice.
It's the only hospital on the planet that has no apple juice.
Jesus Christ, but you have been through the absolute ringer. I mean, is everything okay? Is everything going to be okay? Are you going to have to go back in again now?
I guess so. I don't know if I'm going to have to be on some kind of permanent life support system that I'm going to have to cart around the rest of my life or if I'm actually going to get out of here.
Here's what he said to me, and now this is all kidding aside. He said, when I talked to him this morning, I said, how come you're not out of the hospital? He said, they won't let me out of the hospital until he shows that he can pass gas.
Right, that's standard.
Now, the problem is, they're not giving him any food.
Right.
So he doesn't have a chance.
Are you done?
Right. No, apparently it's, you know, the operation was a success. We're just having trouble getting my system started again. So I need some kind of kickstart. But, I'm stuck in here until that happens. And so it's going to be a delightful 4th of July for me.
Are you in any pain at all?
No, none whatsoever. Oh, no, I mean, other than the fact that I can't, consume any food. Or function in any normal way. Other than that, I'm fine.
He's got the button, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the button here. You want to hear the button?
I know what the button is. The button's Let's Liquid Demerol, right?
Yeah, that beep. That every time you hear one of those.
Yeah, that's the self-medication.
I'm giving myself a shot of painkiller.
I love that one.
I mentioned, I know you probably don't want to say anything if he's there, but I mentioned how fond you were of your roommate.
I can say this. I can say that being at the hospital, you know, staff and everybody included, is kind of like if the Beverly Hillbillies was made by Fellini. that's what this hospital experience is like.
Really? Is he really thrilled with the location?
Yeah, it couldn't be nicer.
Now, Buzz, can't you get an upgrade or something? I mean, can't you?
You know,
don't you have, like, frequent flyer models? You've been in the hospital so much.
You would think so. Yeah, I'm going to inquire about that, as a matter of fact.
Does the staff know who you are?
No, they have no idea.
All right, get a nurse.
really,
I mean, Buzz, we're going to help you.
Call a nurse.
It's not going to do any good.
Buzz?
Hang on. I'm calling.
Call a nurse.
Call the nurse.
I mean, this is the least we can do for him.
When I was on the phone with him today, they didn't sound, whoever the nurse that was attending to Buzz at the time,
right,
didn't sound like she had gone to nursing school and had a great bedside manner. Because
Hi, could I get a nurse, please?
She was like yelling at Buzz about something while he was on the phone with me, and Buzz was saying,
Buzz is too nice a guy to, of course, you and I wouldn't do it either. You and I, if we were in that circumstance. We wouldn't be dropping our name
on Mike,
but we'd certainly...
Mike, hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned. We expect to resume normal broadcasting shortly. Be sure to stay tuned for Jeopardy!
Really? You're really thrilled with the location?
Yeah, it couldn't be nicer.
Now, Buzz, can't you get an upgrade or something? I mean, can't you?
You know,
don't you have, like, frequent flyer miles? You've been in the hospital so much.
You would think so. Yeah, I'm going to inquire about that, as a matter of
does
fact.
Does the staff know who you are?
No, they have no idea.
All right, get a nurse.
really.
I mean, Buzz, we're going to help you.
Call a nurse.
It's not going to do any good.
Buzz?
Hang on. I'm calling
you. Call a nurse.
Call the nurse.
I mean, this is the least we can do for him.
When I was on the phone with him today, they didn't sound... Whoever the nurse that was attending to Buzz at the time
right.
didn't sound like she had gone to nursing school and had right. a great bedside manner because...
Hi, could I get a nurse, please?
She was like yelling at Buzz about something while he was on the phone with me, and Buzz was saying...
Buzz is too nice a guy to... of course, you and I wouldn't do it either. You and I, if we were in that circumstance, we wouldn't be dropping our name around, but we'd certainly...
Mike, hold on. Let me just put Buzz on hold. Okay. Hold on, Buzz.
They know who we are, Mike.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Hi, Buzz.
How stupid of me not to know that.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, is the nurse coming?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. All right,
good. Well, then...
Because we're gonna get... if you have to share the room, at least you're going to get VIP treatment starting today.
Well, I would hope so.
Are you in a suburban hospital, Buzz?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, right. I am.
And you're, of course, covered by the great Infinity Insurance.
Right.
How much did they laugh when you gave them that card?
They're still laughing.
Yes, they're laughing hysterically.
They've been passing it around.
It's almost like... You ever go to, like, Spencer Gifts or something, and you get those dumb novelty business cards?
Right, exactly.
Same thing. You go to a doctor's office with one of these Infinity insurance cards.
It's like handing them fake poop.
Buzz?
I showed it to them. They said, what, you didn't have a library card? That's how valuable it is.
All right, and again, now, if you're checking the response time here, Buzz...
Yeah, really, what if Buzz was in real distress?
Buzz called the nurse approximately 75 seconds ago.
Yes.
Maybe we could... If there's some way we could get the phone number out to the nurse's station... You know, then we'd be able to put them on speakerphone and lecture them all.
We got to do that thing, though, with getting their permission to get them on the air.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, it's all a catch-22, everything.
Now, who did you ask for the nurse? Was there an orderly going by that you asked for the nurse?
No, I pushed the call button.
We'll push it again.
All right, here.
Very good.
There he is.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you. Did you give yourself a hit of that medication?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you sound a little buzzed right now. Pardon the pun.
There's nothing else to do. I'm bored out of my mind.
There's nothing else.
You know, when I was going through a similar procedure, nothing like what Buzz has gone through.
Of course not.
At cocktail hour, like 5 or 5:30, I would give myself the juice.
Yeah.
I'd wait. I'd hold up and give myself a nice double dose.
Because they don't give you an unlimited supply, right?
It's the most amazing, at least as far as I was concerned, it was the most amazing drug I'd ever experienced.
Yeah, it's an amazing technology that you can just keep administering that to yourself.
Yeah.
But it's not like an unlimited supply, like turning water faucet.
The reason it's a dosage is because you're limited to, I think, one every 15 minutes or something like
that. Yeah, it's regulated. 12 minutes, but who's counting?
12 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
One every 12 minutes?
Yeah. 12 minutes, and, you know, and sometimes it's not like you can save them up.
You can't
do something overnight. No.
You know what you need is like an egg timer so you know exactly. when 12 minutes is.
Now, if we're counting here, we're working on about with the 2-minute mark that the nurse was called.
So if this was serious, I'd be dead by now.
You got your traffic on the 8s.
Mm-hmm. But they don't know whether
you got your liquid Demerol on the 12s.
They don't know whether it's serious or not, right?
No, they
They're
don't.
They're probably hoping that he passes because it just frees up a bed.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, hold on. Regardless of the fact that they don't know if it's serious or not,
right.
No one's coming to see you.
That is correct.
It's been over 3 minutes now, and there is no nurse.
Buzz, you're not getting the proper care.
This is what I've been saying all along.
All right, we're going to fix this.
All right.
When the nurse gets there and they ask what you want, tell them you need sparklers.
And
where is Dr. Bombay?
I don't know. Dr. Bombay is not making his rounds until 6 p.m. this evening, and by that time it'll be too late to check me out, so I'm stuck here for another night.
And I can relate how difficult this is.
Yeah.
Because I remember when you guys called me when I was in the hospital. It's the hardest thing to do is to like, stay up and stay energized during these little segments, how brief they are.
You know how nice I used to be? I've become a complete jerk. I'm an angry man. I could go off at any minute.
Oh, and you'd need a nurse. You called the nurse and she's not coming.
Yeah.
Call the bitch again.
All right.
Buzz, the doctor from Cannonball Run.
Yeah, let me just take this. Let me take this little finger here.
And Dr. Giggles.
I don't think he's going to be passing gas anytime soon.
Detroit.
Now, they're not even answering me now.
Not even answering him now.
There's no one home.
Now, are you mobile or do you have to stay in bed?
I'm semi-mobile. I've got one of those IV sticks, you know, that you walk around
you with
wheels on it. Yeah.
Can you wheel yourself out to the hallway to ask for someone to come help you?
I could. I'd have to unplug everything here, but. Yeah, I could.
Well, go ahead.
I'm supposed to walk anyway.
No, don't do that.
No, don't do that, Buzz.
Don't unplug yourself.
You should have the goddamn nurses should be responding.
Yes, they should.
All right, you know, hold on just a moment, Buzz.
Probably down there having a cookout.
Hold on, and here's what we'd like you to do.
All right.
Give Lisa the name of the hospital you're in.
Okay.
And the phone number and the room you're in, let me and Mike call, and then we'll handle it.
Okay, very good.
All right, and get well very soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm sure everything's going to be fine.
You wait to see how your service improves.
I just want to bust out of here. That's all.
All right, hold on just a second. Right. Just a second.
You wait to see how that service improves from Mr. Mike Elston.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, it sounds he's the kind of guy, he doesn't bitch unless it's really bad.
Yeah, well, God damn,
he gets stepped on. He gets walked on by these healthcare professionals that messed him up in the first place.
For 3 days, that's really bad.
I mean, the whole reason he's in there, correct me if I'm wrong, is because they effed up the surgery to start with.
Twice. He's on his third.
He had an intestinal thing. They went in, they put like some kind of like split rail fence in his stomach.
For a while, he would lift up his shirt and show us that he had like this gauze that had this like this ooze flowing through.
And now they're not even helping him.
Don't forget, he had the whole maxi pad era.
Right.
Where every day, as part of his daily routine, he had to tape a Kotex to his belly because he was oozing.
Yeah, because he had a truss like a big girdle that he had.
Poor bastard had the colostomy bag,
and now he sounds like he's really miserable.
Remember the hell we put him through with the colostomy bag?
And he's in the Beverly Hillbillies in a Fellini film. That's what he's saying. Is it's just a bunch of rednecks that aren't treating him well.
Can you imagine?
Open a window.
Can you imagine a worse fate? Being on this show and having a colostomy bag.
Oh, my God.
Having to come to work every day. And we waited and waited and waited until we could wait no more.
Right.
And that poor son of a bitch.
Hey, Swish.
Yeah, he finally allowed us to do the comedy about it.
God,
we were doing plenty of comedy like off air. But,
and he knew it.
It's amazing.
You got it? Thank you, Lisa. Well, that's a good hospital.
Which one is he in? Let me see. You writing it down?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a good hospital.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, I mean, it's good, but it's, you know, I was hoping you were going to say this one here.
Okay, I'm going to call the hospital.
That's a good one, but it's not great. This is a good one. It's a little joke.
Take it off the air. And you
it's
want to
a little joke. All right, I'll ask for the fourth floor nurse's station.
Actually, that's the best one. That's the one that you know, gets all like, the specialties and stuff like that.
The one he's in is the one that...
Of course, the one that you're talking about is the one where you know you recommend your guy that did my thingy.
Fourth floor nurse's station, please.
Procedure I've ever had.
That's
I've never looked back.
That's where my kid went when he had appendicitis.
Right.
I mean, they do great stuff. I had my kidney stuff done there. That's a good hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, is this the fourth floor? Hi, listen, this is the Don and Mike Show. Would you come on here with us for a second about our news guy, Buzz, who's on the fourth floor?
You might know him as Mr. Elston, Mike Elston. It's our newsman, and he's on your floor.
She says, okay. No, listen, here's the deal.
Here's the deal. He goes by the name of Buzz Burbank, you see.
Now, he's in the hospital. He's on the fourth floor. We've not mentioned on the air the name of the hospital. All I know is that this guy... He could be run over by a car, and he wouldn't ask for anybody to help him.
We're thinking that maybe we could get him the VIP treatment starting today.
Is there any way that we could, like, get him an upgrade? That we could...
Like, move him into one of the rooms where maybe one of the patients has, you know, expired unexpectedly or something like that? Hold on, please. Was that she can't handle it, or...
What are you doing that for?
He in case someone comes back and they don't know they're on the air.
Oh, Christ, so many rules. We're just trying to get Buzz a better room in the hospital.
True.
But he would. He could be, you know, he could be putting bamboo shoots under his fingernails, and he would be like, that's a little tender.
You know, he generally is not a complainer.
Right.
Not like us. Christ, I'd be screaming. I'd be screaming out there. I'd be out in the hallway screaming. Does anybody here listen to 106.7?
Yeah, he'll probably be better if he goes to some kind of outpatient facility.
Mike, that's cruel.
I'm sorry.
That's cruel what you just wrote down. That is very, very cruel. Well, we're still on hold. I'm still hearing, this delightful music. This delightful on-hold music.
He doesn't need to go to the Whitman Walker Clinic.
And this, this is what you want to hear when you're in a hospital. Yeah. You know, when you're laying there with all kinds of bad stuff happening to you, this is what you want to hear when you're on hold. Or let's say you're calling for a loved one and you're worried about their condition. This is what you want to hear.
Now, they seem to be really big on just blowing people off.
Hello?
Hello? I'm just trying to... Well, you know, can you hold on for a second? All we want to do is get Buzz a little VIP treatment, like the best Jell-O. The best apple juice. And you know, if the hospital is out of apple juice, go down to the vending machine and get some.
How could the hospital be out of apple juice?
Apple juice. You have to drink apple juice when you have stomach problems. The hospital's out of the hospital is out of apple juice.
That's impossible. That is impossible.
They're not out of classical music.
Hey, if this is my hospital and you're put on hold, here's what you're going to hear right here. Right here, okay? You're going to hear something uplifting. Something that says, whoever you're calling about has a chance of living.
I'm pulling the IVs out of my arm already. Coffee's ready.
You're going to hear it. Popcorn.
Hello?
Yes, hi. It's Don and Mike again. Who's this?
Oh, excellent.
Great, thank you.
Okay, I know. I gotta do this goddamn thing again. Tell them that they're on the air thing.
Sucks. It's ringing now in the supervisor's office.
Supervisor, where's the machine that goes bing?
If I get an answering machine, I'm going to go ballistic.
That will suck.
Sorry, we're out of apple juice. It's four rings now in the supervisor's office.
Supervisor's like, yeah, shooting up.
Five rings.
I got more Demerol here.
Six rings.
Hello? Hey, this is the supervisor's office. There's no timer on the supervisor's
button. Seven rings. You believe this?
Well, now I'm starting to get a clear picture of what's going on.
Eight rings.
Oh, this is the heaviest travel day of the summer.
Nine rings.
You know, I would imagine you're not going to get your ace there.
Ten rings.
On the holiday weekend.
No, fill-ins.
She's not answering right now. Hi, listen, this is the Don and Mike Show. You're not on the radio with us right now. Would you come on the air with us for a second? Our newsman, Buzz Burbank, is in the hospital there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we just want to talk to somebody about Buzz.
All right, listen, the guy says he'll come on the air. Here's the deal.
Are you a switchboard operator, or are you, working on...
operator.
Okay, well, our guy, Buzz, he's on the fourth floor. We've not mentioned the name of the hospital. But he's on the fourth floor, and he's registered under his real name, which is Michael Elston. And
Michael
Elston.
Elston, E-L-S-T-O-N. And he tells us that you guys are out of apple juice.
And we want to see if we can get him, in general, get him like the VIP treatment because he's, you know, he's a major star.
Is that true that your hospital's out of apple juice?
I have no idea.
Because, I've been to the hospital there plenty of times.
You know, we should be transferred back up to the fourth floor because the lady that transferred us to the supervisor where the supervisor wasn't, this guy's not going to be able to help us.
But I know that even right there, like, if you're in the emergency room area,
right,
they have vending machines.
With apple juice.
That sell apple juice.
Yes.
Okay, can you go up and get Buzz some apple juice?
Oh, I can't, actually. I have to answer phones here.
Can you get somebody to get him some apple juice?
Would there be someone who
I can catch you into, like, the cooks and stuff like that, and you can talk to them.
Oh, yes, the cooks.
Yes, please.
Okay, here you go.
Good. Okay, we can get him a whole thing.
Have you no apple
juice? Well, he can't eat anything, right?
No, I got to go through this whole thing again, this whole goddamn, may I have your permission?
He can't eat anything.
Go on the air.
Right, except apple juice, right?
That's we can get him apple juice, though.
Apple juice, can he eat, like, mush?
Can he have applesauce?
Just water or apple juice?
No, hold on, shut up, you guys. I'm on the phone here. hi, this is Don and Mike, and we're doing a radio show. Do you mind coming on the air with us? Our news guy is in the hospital there. All right, well, then you're not on the air.
Can you transfer us up to the fourth floor, please?
Let me just ask you something, though. Hold on. You work in the food part? Are you guys out of apple juice? They were last night.
And you don't know if you have any now?
Would you check? All right, the guy I'm speaking to now.
I don't know.
Why is it I feel that I've just pulled up to the McDonald's up by Paul the Sixth High School?
Not only out of apple juice, but running dangerously low on intellect.
The guy is...
They don't know.
The guy is going to go see if they have apple
juice. They ran out last night. Why? Maybe because it's hot and people were thirsty?
You're a hospice that need apple juice. Go over to Fresh Field.
I can't hear the guy because the guy's not on the air.
The guy is saying, come on, would you please come on the air with us, please? I want to say, you're a dumb effer.
Tip.
What do you think?
What if the supplier...
My stock hasn't come in. Duh. Show some initiative.
I'm sorry, we're out of your blood pressure medicine because our stock didn't come in.
I think it's time to talk to the administrator for the hospital. The president of the hospital.
Like the guy on ER?
Right.
The big bald guy?
Our newsman is in the hospital. The only thing he can have is apple juice, and for almost 24 hours now, they're out of apple juice because their stock hasn't come in.
Hold on. I gotta take it off the air again.
Yes, I'm mad for Buzz. I am really mad.
I'm mad
as hell. You know, I need excuses to get mad now.
One, two, three, down. Now I'm just calling the regular line. Four rings. Hi there. May I please speak to the manager? Yes. Whoever the head muckety muck is.
Who's the person in charge? And no voicemail, please. We need to see a human being.
We have a friend of ours who is in the hospital there right now, and you guys are out of apple juice.
And you have been out of apple juice for almost 24 hours, and all he can have is apple juice.
Hold on, she says. Hold on, she says. Hold on. And now I'm back to this.
Jesus Christ. How about that dumbass down in the kitchen, though? I could barely hear him, but, you know.
I'm back. Can you hear this music now?
Yeah, the lovely classical. The stock didn't come in. So sit on your hands as patients are thirsty.
Jesus Christ. Poor Buzz. You know, we could do...
Can you imagine, seriously, you're told, and I've been there, where you're told all you can have is apple juice, and then they say, we're out of it.
We should just send Joe over with some apple juice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good idea.
Yeah, Robbie?
But just for Buzz. Give him instructions not to share it.
Well, of course not.
Just juice boxes.
Yeah, they don't have a refrigerator in the room, do they?
No. But they might have freezer chest. Freezer box.
Freezer box.
Yeah, we'll get him like one of those little cooler jobs.
I can't believe they're putting him through this.
I think we actually have a cooler in the office.
I can't believe we're on hold. Again.
You know, it's something you don't pay attention to a lot, and there are a lot of great hospitals and a lot of people that do great jobs. Individuals that work in hospitals that do fantastic work.
And this is a real nice hospital, and I know a lot of nice people who work there. And also, I don't want to give out the name of the hospital now, since we've pretty much identified buses there on the fourth floor.
Right, exactly.
But, Jesus H. Christ. You know, now listen to this again. Listen to this bad music.
Hello?
Ah, yes, ma'am. The friend has to contact the nurse. We were on the radio with the guy. We're doing a radio show right now. Your voice is not on the air. This is the Don and Mike show.
This is our newsman, and he's in your hospital. And they say that all he can have is apple juice, and you've been out of apple juice, and we called the kitchen. They're out of apple juice.
And when you say call the nurse, when we were on the telephone with him while in his room, he called the nurse, and no nurses came to his room.
And then when we talked to a nurse on the fourth floor, she transferred us to a supervisor where there was no answer at all. So we've been getting a runaround, and all we want to do is get our newsman some apple juice!
Can you help? Hello? Hello? Ping?
I can't hear.
It sounds like you're laughing. I'm not doing a bit here, bitch.
Did you get put on hold again?
Now, she said hold on. But it sounds like she hung up. This is Nurse Biatch.
Yeah, but you see, you can't use that. They'll always do that, because they're allowed to do that.
No, she hung up.
If there's language involved. I think you can yell, but you can't use the bad language, because if you use the bad language, then they hang up on
you. That's too bad, because what you couldn't hear was, while we were having that discussion, she was laughing. She was laughing.
This is a quest.
All right, well, you know what? Let's chip in and get him some apple juice.
All right.
Get him some apple juice. Here's, I'm running a little low on cash.
I got five.
No, hold on. I got 20.
Here you go. Get him some good. Get him the good stuff.
Martinelli?
Mike, you can do better than $1. You can do better than $1, Mike. Two. All right. There's two from Mike, and here's five from me.
All right.
Here you go. All right, Joe. There's $7.
7-Eleven has it ice cold.
Go get him some. Go get him some orange or some apple juice.
Get him the best kind.
You want like the fireworks till I get back, right?
This is our news guy, Joe. This is our news. I mean, think about someone else besides yourself for a change.
All right. You know what? Hold on. You can wait until after the fireworks.
Yeah.
He's been 24 hours without the apple juice.
No, I'll do it now. Absolutely. But if you just, it'll take
We got to have the fireworks.
Yeah.
So you better hold off.
Yeah. Wait until after the fireworks.
We got to have some priorities.
Okay.
And what's he going to do? Starve to death? Isn't he getting IV fluids?
He's got his button. Jesus, what a mess. Okay.
Hey, but it sounds like they really got the skeleton crew on.
God damn.
Let me put you through to the supervisor. Tell me that's not like just a carte blanche where they send people to nobody.
10 rings. 10 rings and nothing. And then the moron that I spoke to who made the guy in the Dell commercials seem like Albert Einstein. Like, hey, dude, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't have our apple juice. Man. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
The hell with the apple juice. Make sure they put an extra stitch in for you.
Shut up, please.
God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know that music they played when you were on hold? That's the same music they played for Edward G. Robinson in Soylent Green when he was at the euthanasia place.
I can't believe you brought that. I was thinking that. I swear to God.
Soylent Green.
I was thinking. I was like,
people.
And Edward G. Robinson goes and he goes, I'd like classical, please. I mean, light classical.
Hello.
It's a great scene.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Can't believe that guy said that. It's exactly what I was thinking.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I've been listening to your show since, like, the mid-80s.
Thank you.
And you guys are great. We don't get you in Baton Rouge, because I moved down here from Washington, D.C. But I turn you on every time I get into Lake Charles.
Wonderful.
All right, thank you. Have a nice
morning. Hey, man, it's effed up what they're doing to Buzz.
Yeah, it is indeed. We're trying to get it fixed for him.
Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I like talking to Don and Mike.
Now, turn your radio down. Turn your radio down, please. Hello?
This is Ray. How you doing?
Hi, Ray.
I know why Buzz is in the hospital. It has something to do with him playing with his too much.
Playing with his what?
Playing with his...
Bad conversation where he...
I know.
You know?
Okay, all right.
Who knows?
More show coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Not the room. It's not how cold it is. It's that you're not funny.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, T. It is the best of Don and Mike here on the Westwood One Broadcasting System. Beautiful, beautiful day on the Love Network. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak. You know, I remember when the show, the television program The Amazing Race started. I thought it was about white people, but it's not. It's about a whole bunch of guys running across the country, making fools of themselves. And if you think back to the first season of The Amazing Race, there was a pair of gay guys on, Danny and Oswald. They were terrific, and we had them in studio. Here they are for you on the best of John and Mike.
You are not lovers.
No.
Well, he has the one. But you are, in fact, you are not lovers.
No, not lovers. Do you both have significant men in your life at this moment?
No, I have a plant that's dying.
You have that's it. Wow. That's so sad. What a drag.
I have a puppy.
Now, what did you get?
A lot of peanut butter in the house.
What did you get for losing on The Amazing Race? Do you get any money or anything?
We get to come on your show.
Oh, what a thrill that is.
Now, besides that.
Well, Rosie gave us a trip to L.A. to go shopping in Rodeo Drive.
Yeah.
The only problem there was she gave us $1,000. That's it.
For Rodeo Drive?
Well, you know what? It was
for everything?
It was, come on, Donnie, stop it. It was a really, really nice
No,
price.
No. Hold on a second. So she said on the TV show, what, I'm going to send you to Los Angeles, send you to Rodeo Drive.
Yeah,
and then what, she gave you $1,000?
Well, we didn't know how much it was.
I think I'm bringing my own credit card.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Donnie, you're so evil.
That's all you got was a grand?
A grand.
That sucks.
Each your total.
No, but I mean, that really does
total.
Suck.
But
she didn't give you airfare?
Well, I'm extremely grateful.
Do you sign like a contract where it says, be grateful? Make sure, because I mean, all these shows have legal documents surrounding them that are incredible.
I mean, we didn't expect anything, so the fact that we got something was wonderful.
You know what I would love to do here? And I'm serious. We have a client called Hotwire.com.
Right.
And I'm sure that Hotwire.com would comp you guys airfare out to Los Angeles, back and forth.
She gave us airfare and hotel. And
oh, you got that already?
It's all about the plastic. If they give us a credit card, we'll take it.
Yeah. Now, do you guys get the frequent flyer miles when you travel?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Well, that's a bonus, too.
Then. Oh, so wait a minute. Hold on.
No, during the race?
No, not during the show? Oh, okay.
I'm getting this thing totally wrong, then. So Rosie O'Donnell did give them the airfare and $1,000.
And a car. And a car.
Well, then what are you bitching about?
$1,000.
On Rodeo Drive.
This queen, she like buys underwear that costs $1,500. So, of course.
She does.
Jesus. Well,
she did not refer to me as a queen.
I did, honey. That's what you are for bitching on the show about $1,000.
Listen to this. I like these guys.
So when you were on the Rosie O'Donnell show, now that she's come out, do you think that she would have treated you guys different 2 or 3 years ago? If she hadn't been out and come on the show, she's always had a gay friendly show,
right.
But she'd always had that, you know, that thing like, oh, I love Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is my man. Do you think she would have treated you differently 2 years ago?
Well, I like Naomi Campbell, but I wouldn't sleep with her. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I don't know. There's so many things. She would have treated us, I think, exactly the same way.
I think she would have been the same.
Yeah. How did she smell?
How did she smell?
Yes.
Yeah, how did she smell? I mean, you know, you guys do a lot of shopping. I'm sure you buy a lot of colognes. Did Rosie have any discernible
odor? She had a shower that morning.
You know what? Maybe she was very cognizant that most of her guests could be allergic to perfume, so maybe she didn't wear any that day.
Did you detect any feminine odors?
From Danny, I did.
I was wearing my feminine deodorant spray.
From Rosie. All right, on the Amazing Race, who was the other team that you guys hated the most?
We didn't really hate anyone.
Well, who did you dislike the most?
We just stayed away from them all.
Yeah. You know what?
We had our own race.
We were like on our own race. You know, when you see a train wreck coming at you, you basically stay out of the way. That's what we did.
Well,
we didn't get run over.
If all things were equal, would there be any particular couple on the show where if they won, you guys would kind of say, okay, you wouldn't be that overjoyed?
Not really.
Come on, he's going to go. He's going to go.
You're not going to go.
He's going to come on. No, come on. Now, he's the one that was complaining about the thing.
No more for you.
Come on. Talk a little trash. Do a little dirt.
What if we gave you $200 extra to shopping dollars in Beverly Hills?
Okay, you got me now.
All right. For $200.
$200?
Who's the other team you dislike the most?
Or how about an individual? How about one of the individuals?
Now,
I will give you some information.
No, okay. No, no.
Yes, yes, yes.
No finger.
No finger. Stop it with a finger. Damn.
There is a certain individual in the race that everybody loves to hate.
And that is?
Well,
I want you to say it.
I got
to
say it?
I want you to say it.
Everybody hates poor Will.
Poor Will.
Poor Will.
Thank you. Thank you for saying it.
Well,
I'm just applauding that he said anybody.
But the problem is that he's mentally ill.
He's mentally ill. He's true to his identity.
The guy...
That
has to be deleted out. Now you can say the word ass,
right?
And you can say the word hole,
but you can't say them together.
You can say a hole.
That's a pause.
You can say, while Will was writing an ass, he fell into a hole.
That's right. On the show, he does seem like a total jerk. Was he as much of a jerk off camera as he is on camera?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you know what? The one great thing about Will is that he doesn't deny the fact that he's done what he is. You know?
Yeah,
he,
that doesn't make a
he's
difference.
He's true to his nature.
I made out with him.
You did? There you go. I bet he'll love that.
Oh, my God, Tommy, I did. He forced him down, but yes.
That'll kill him. I'll tell you boys something that... You two are my favorites on this show.
These guys could have their own show. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Have you been approached by anybody besides Rosie O'Donnell who's noticed that you seem to have a chemistry?
Yes, you do.
Between the two of you.
No. I'm no, but
you know, really, there's room, I think, on television, late night television in particular, for a an openly gay network show.
Well, they're going to do
somebody's
it.
Just got to, you know, what's that?
They're going to start a gay network here pretty soon.
No, no, Buzz, I'm talking mainstream.
Okay.
I'm talking one of the big three.
Right.
CBS.
One of the big four. Got to throw Fox in there.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Have Fox in the equation. Fox might be their best chance.
Have to be Fox. So, I guess, do you know who won the Amazing Race?
No.
No.
You don't know?
No clue.
No, you don't know. And they don't do the big thing like Survivor where they're going to have a big party in Central Park. It's just going to be... The last one is next week, and that's it.
Thank you for coming, and have a nice day.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Here's your envelope. Goodbye.
Guys, bye-bye. Go to Rodeo Drive.
Your clue? Go home.
You were my favorites on the show.
Thank you.
I loved everything that you guys did. I love it when you hurt yourselves. I love it when you jump around on one foot. I love it when you went shopping. Everything with you guys, fantastic.
No, thank you very much.
They were really the top choice.
Yeah.
And did you really kiss Will?
I did.
I witnessed it.
And there was really
I sat on top of him.
My finger was jealous that day.
God. This guy Will.
He's a good kisser.
Wow, guys,
he kissed me back.
There you go.
Hold on a second. Now, this can't be Will on the telephone. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This is not Will, is it?
Yeah, no. This isn't D-Will.
Really, I miss you.
But I wanted to know if Will's separated wife there was really fooling around with the guy in that other group. Like, or were they just doing stuff for the camera?
That's an excellent question.
They were developing a wonderful friendship along the...
What I really want to know is, did he bang her?
I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. What did he bang?
We all slept in separate quarters, so...
But you didn't hear anything?
No, I don't think she's a moaner.
There was
you know what? You know, I think we're not going to get any honest answers out of you.
Maybe. I don't know.
We're only going to get honestly out of this one.
You can all tell who the honest one here is. Catch him.
Yes, I can. Hello. Speaking to him. Thank you, my friend. Goodbye. Get out of here.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just wanted to say to Oswald and Danny, I love them. I thought they were the best couple. I think that their carefree attitude about everything was really great. Everybody's rushing all around and running all around, and they're just like, okay, we got enough time. We're going to go shopping and do this. I thought they were the best, and I'm going to miss them next week.
Listen, it was a pretty involved interview process to get on a show like this, because I know that it's such a popular thing now for people to audition for these shows. What's the process? How many layers do you have to go through before you get the get picked to do this?
It was really strange. I mean, you have to go through a lot of layers. You have to submit an application.
Right.
Then it gets reviewed by the production company. Then they fly you for preliminary interviews. Then you meet CBS. And then I think there's another.
Then you don't make it on the show, and they bump you to the next year's season.
Did you flirt with his moon vest?
No, he wouldn't let me. but I showed him my tongue.
Hey, listen, thank you. We have one more call that we have to put through. A very good friend of ours, and you gotta know that he's loving this.
Oh, is this who I think it is?
Oh, no. Homo Joe?
Oh, my God.
Joe, are you there?
Homo Joe, Don and Mike.
Hi, Homo Joe.
Oh, are you a
boy? I'll tell you, those guys were great on that show, especially when they did the bungee jump.
You're a big fan, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, the right nationality for me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you like Cuban boys.
You like Cuban.
Joe likes them nice and brown.
Absolutely.
Hey,
I'm not going to prize for you, Joe.
Right there.
Nice and brown.
I'm 95 North.
Wait, hold on. Joe, listen, before you jump in your car to come up here and have the gay sex with these guys.
He's in his car right now.
I'm actually in Delaware as we speak.
Driving up here.
I hope you're on a cell phone.
Joe, weren't you supposed to be on the show a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, I had an accident. accident, and that's why I didn't get to you guys.
Was it something that that required you go to the emergency room and have something removed?
Yes, my whole head. So I had it, I had a wreck, and it was a bad thing. So.
Were you distracted while you were driving?
Yeah, one of those truckers.
I've been there. I've done that.
Why was it flashing at you?
And Joe, your newest boy toy, what's his name?
Sean.
That's the wrong answer. It should have been Danny and Oswald.
Danny and Oswald.
Sean, where did you meet Sean?
That's how it goes. You know, he's not the right persuasion. You know, he's an Anglo-Saxon. And
did you meet him in a chat room again? You know, that's where Joe meets all his guys in chat rooms.
Really? Yes. Joe, are you distracted again? Pay attention. Answer the questions.
I'm sorry. Now I can hear you. I ran into a dead zone.
Where did you meet him? Did you meet him in a chat room?
Yeah.
Have we met, Joe?
I've been there once in a while.
Oh, you go in there once in a while, too?
But my friend doesn't.
No, I go there all the time.
Do you guys have a website? Everybody's got a website now. Do you guys have a website?
We have one, but it's not on the
We registered the domain, but... We really don't have the patience to sit down and do something like that. Mm-hmm. So we may or we're not do it.
Not when there's shopping to do.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, Joe, we got to go.
Okay, thank you, guys, and good talking to you. And I'd love to be on the show.
All right. See you later, Joe.
Bye-bye.
He's disappointed. What he was really looking for was yes, please continue to drive through Delaware and New Jersey and come up here to New York City.
Jesus Christ.
But we don't promise threesomes, though.
We only tag team.
Guys... You're great on that show, and I hope, seriously, anytime you want, you come back and you'll be on our show. We'd love to have you come back on.
Let's have a nice round of applause for Oswald and Danny. Yeah.
From the Amazing Race. Okay, get out of here.
All right, get out of here, guys.
Get out of here.
Thank you very much.
God damn.
Fantastic. Great guests.
I told you, they were great on the show.
They got to give them their own show. Yeah. These guys have it. They have that chemistry. They really do.
It doesn't get any gayer than that.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Oh, God damn, they cracked my ass up.
You know, it's kind of a theme, Gay Friday.
They really made me laugh.
Yeah, they're funny.
Should have seen them on the show, because they were just as funny and just as gay on the show.
That's great.
Wearing their glittery shirts with the no sleeves and stuff.
Fantastic.
We got to stop the shop. And the fact that he kissed this guy, Will.
Wow. Yeah.
You say, Will is very much like the next-door neighbor in American Beauty.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah, a little wrap tight, a little latent homosexual tendencies.
You got to know if Danny, it was Danny who kissed him?
Yes.
If Danny kissed him? Jesus Christ, that had to be fantastic.
That is fantastic. He says Will kissed back.
All right, there they go. Danny and Oswald from The Amazing Race. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Sorry, we're out of
time. Boy, that cart sounds better each and every day. You know what the weird thing about that segment was? Is my son Robert's favorite cartoon is Oswald. And it's about an octopus. I don't think it's about a gay Cuban, but I'm going to have to start watching it with him. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to the Best of Don and Mike. Another week of Best of for you next week, so make sure you join in. And listen, I'll be here, Beth Ann will be there, and we want to see your face in the place. Okay, on Monday, Don and Mike's tearful reunion with Ken Hakuta. That's Dr. Fad. He invented the wacky wall walker, don't you know? Also, Mike O'Mara forgets my birthday. Funny stuff. And a phone scan that features baldness. Sadly, I think I might be mentioned there, too. So stay tuned. We'll talk to you next week. Remember, Ron and Fez next on most of these CBS stations. What, two of them? No, most of them. I don't know. What am I, a statistician? Have a great weekend, everybody, and go Redskins. Wouldn't it be great if the door worked? Hey, look, it does work. So long.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.